live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Show number 1001.
Hell no place to go.
And it continues.
Hell no place to go. Hell no place to go.
If you bet the Chiefs.
Goodbye, baby.
Ouch.
Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
We begin with the top six and six in just a moment. Later on, a check-in with Ana Balaval on how her parents are doing in Puerto Rico. Orion Samuelson later. Motown the musical. We got Wang Bang Doodle results. We'll do more picks. I'm out of here. I'm out on Friday. I think Pete's coming in. Is that right?
I think so. I'm off too.
Looks like you and Pete, Dave.
Wait, yeah. Friday? I'm off.
Okay. Mike and Mary off?
I think they're coming in, but
I'll be here.
They're probably reconsidering.
Now they're reconsidering.
I'm actually looking forward to it.
Okay.
Have fun, Dave.
You like a little time away from us?
Why? Because we won't be here?
Well, I don't want you to take that the wrong way, but yes.
Oh, please.
Hey, 1,000 shows, you know, it could use a break.
Yeah, no kidding. You're probably sick of it.
Yeah.
Sick of me. Let's do the top six. Let's go. We'll see right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
We begin with the obvious. 59 victims confirmed dead and over 500 confirmed injured. Those numbers. The injured side likely to stabilize, but there are many, many, many more people still fighting for their lives. We know a little bit more about the shooter this morning. Mm-hmm. He was someone who made a fair amount of money in speculation and real estate and had become a professional gambler. And that's a title that anybody can, you know, slap on themselves. Doesn't mean you're necessarily good at it. There's no visible motive this morning. His brother stood up yesterday and said the guy never would have hurt a fly.
Right.
He had no record. There's a lot of talk about the fact that their father was on the FBI most wanted list and was a bank robber.
Right.
I'm not sure what that has to do with anything.
I agree.
Because if there was some genetic anomaly that caused the entire family to commit crimes, it would have shown up before the guy turned 64 years old. So other than an interesting talking point with this story, I don't know how it relates. There's much more investigating that needs to be done. Frankly, we don't know much of anything.
That's what's the most bizarre thing about all of this. They interviewed yesterday the gun shop owner who said, oh, yeah, I sold him a gun. He passed the background check with flying colors. He didn't even have a parking ticket, Steve.
Yeah, nothing.
No,
nothing.
And what's crazy also, too, the first responders, remember yesterday we were asking Alex Stone, they say it took about 10 to 15 minutes, which seems like an eternity with all those bullets flying, but it's really not, that the police determined where he was and went in, and the fire alarm was set off because he had such a cachet of weapons.
Yeah, the smoke set the fire
smoke set the fire alarm off, and that's how they were able to pinpoint exactly where he was, too.
It's interesting. I don't know why I thought this, but I assume if you break a window on a high-rise, an alarm would go off.
Yeah, I know. He broke it with a hammer, they said.
Yeah, so you had to break a window to shoot. I would think that there would be some sort of system where that has to be in place somewhere, where if you break a window on a high-rise, there's
got
to be
off.
Some kind of trouble, and an alarm goes off, and you would know.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. It's amazing they found them as fast as they can. If you want to test that for yourself, if you're coming to downtown Chicago today or anytime soon, look at any high-rise.
Yes.
Look at the windows. Look, now look away. Look, now look away. Tell me what floor you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't know.
It's impossible.
It's completely impossible. And when you hear the gunfire, the video was just, I mean, we just watched it over and over and over again. It was harrowing, is how one reporter described it, because the first thing everybody did was get down, which made them sitting ducks.
Well,
but nobody knew where the bullets were coming from.
That's exactly right. And there were people that turned and ran the wrong way and ran back into the fire because they didn't know which way it was coming from.
Do you think there's a point where we don't need to see the video anymore?
Yeah, but right after they started
completely
showing.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Completely right after they started showing. Which brings us to item number two. Tom Petty died yesterday, 66 years old, sudden heart attack, and the audio of Tom Petty's wife's 911 call was released a couple hours later. Again, this is one of my great pet peeves in life. We have no business hearing it. It does nothing to serve anything. You don't need to hear it. You don't need to hear the panic in her voice as her husband is dying in front of her. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
Now, to move on to the Tom Petty piece of the story, nobody knew that he had health issues. It could have been congenital. We don't know. We don't know if there's going to be an autopsy. But there's a guy who you could have easily seen playing into his 80s.
Yeah.
And dead at 66. So that's a sad story. Next. President Trump will visit Puerto Rico today. Awkward.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump over the weekend described the Puerto Rican effort as they just want everything done for them.
Oh,
and now he's going to go and, well, he's going to go see the people. And we hope that he makes it better and not worse. Puerto Rico is still in a hot mess. As I said, we'll check in with Anna Balaval later. There's been tremendous improvements made. I mean, let's not throw that piece of the story away. In and around the major cities, streets have been cleared. They're trying to get gasoline in, not just to power generators, but actually power cars and try to get businesses back up and running as well. But life as you know it in Puerto Rico is still far from normal, and it won't be normal anytime soon. So the president's visit there today, and he will be in Las Vegas, I believe, tomorrow.
Yes, that's correct.
That's the plan. All right, next. Equifax said its data breach affected millions more than initially estimated. I think the thing that Equifax has to answer for going forward here, and it really didn't, dependent on how much their feet are held to the fire, is why did we not hear about this until 2 weeks ago when they were aware of it months ago?
Well, that's the basis of Chicago's lawsuit, too, is that if something happens, if there is any sort of breach, customers have to be notified in a timely manner. And they absolutely were not.
There are three main credit bureaus, as most of you know, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And all of them operate separately with similar business models, but this really is a serious threat to the Equifax business as it is, and frankly, it should be. They got lots of splaining to do, Lucy, and I don't believe they've done much of it yet. Next.
I was surprised also, too, though, when they said the first attack happened in May, and then one of the employees said, no, it was March. So even earlier.
Well, it's one of the M months. And Facebook estimates that over 10 million users saw Russian-backed ads. Those ads were released or will be released to Congress later today. Whether we will see them anytime soon is unclear. Does anyone on this show feel like they saw any of those targeted ads? Steve Grzanich, live in the newsroom. Not listening to the show, Steve? Could one of you guys tell Steve we're on here?
Hello?
There you go, Steve.
Hello.
Steve, Facebook ads.
I'm a little jumped up on coffee this morning, sorry.
Well, you weren't jumped up enough. You didn't have your headphones on. You weren't listening.
Yeah.
Facebook ads for the Russian-targeted Facebook ads. Do you feel like you saw them?
No.
I don't either. And I don't look at Facebook as much as the rest of the planet. Mary Vandeville, did you?
No, and I look at it every day.
We were not one of the states targeted, though, so that could be why we didn't see it.
Andrea?
I didn't, no.
Dave?
Nope.
Jake?
Nope.
Zamber?
I don't think I did either. They said like they were even in puppy ads and things like that, so I don't ever click on those.
Like they'd show a puppy and they'd go, does this puppy look like a communist supporter of Hillary Clinton?
No, yeah. But we see the same pair of shoes that we're shopping
well,
for.
Well, I was going to say, I mostly only click on the Nordstrom ads, so if they were in link with Nordstrom, then we're in trouble.
But... You mean Nordstromsky?
Right.
That's why it's important to see these ads, because you can't really have a context of how blatant they were or how subtle they were.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of people.
And you could have clicked on hide these ads. This doesn't interest me, too.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. If there's an ad that keeps showing up that you don't want. Say we're shot. Not that this would ever happen.
See, all ads interest me because ads pay our bills.
So
all ads interest me. I just want to make this clear. Every ad interests me.
Right, except the personal shopping. So say Mary's...
all ads interest me.
So say Mary's buying a pair of shoes and they pop up on the screen and she's already purchased the shoes, but they keep popping up.
Yes.
You can click on the ad and say, hide this ad, and then they'll ask you why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already bought the item, it doesn't interest me, or it's offensive.
I'm giving them feedback, yes.
Yeah.
So they know it worked.
And they used it. They used the algorithm too that targets individuals in this. So somehow they figured out, you know, what you were looking at in your feed, whether it was pro Trump or pro Hillary or whatever. And if it was pro Trump or on the fence, they targeted you with these ads. So it's possible that somebody in Michigan could have seen the ad while nobody in Illinois did.
So they weren't Trump shoes.
Right.
No, somebody would have had a targeted a pizza ad then for me. Cause...
So Dave, we know that Vladimir Putin's a big Ohio State fan. Do we believe more of these would have been seen in Columbus?
I don't know if he's so much Ohio State.
Oh.
I think he enjoys the Ohio State-Michigan game.
Oh, I see. So it's just
that game. In
again, that like everything
well,
else.
That would have been
targeted and focused.
Yeah, but that was after the election.
And finally this, it's Mean Girls Day, the official October day, October 3rd meme day, where Mean Girls movie quotes will be thrown out over social media all the time.
Oh, I thought you that meant that we could be mean all day.
You know what that is?
How would that be different? You guys are always mean.
Hey, yeah.
That's fetch.
I'm going to have another nightmare.
Thank you.
You're having one right now?
No, I said I'm going to if we keep talking about Mean Girls.
That's right, because remember the junior high girls beat them up?
Right.
You so need therapy. 6:23, let's get traffic. And Mary's here with that, which you just heard. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man. Mary. Memories of Tom Petty. They play Wrigley this summer? Huh. I mean, he did three or four at Wrigley, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, Jake's giving me the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Jake's in charge of concerts. Didn't you go to that show, Jake?
Yeah, so did Mary.
You both went.
I thought you sounded great.
Yeah.
We had a blast. It was raining, and Mary got very wet. I was fortunately underneath some shelter.
I don't know why Sandberg's standing behind you, waving you off here. What do you mean? You didn't get wet?
She
you did get
funny,
wet?
She was funny, though. He's going, I was great. And Mary said, I didn't have fun. Did you say I didn't have fun at all?
Yeah, I didn't have fun because I got wet.
Oh, I see. Because you got wet. All right.
I wish I had a picture of what just happened back there.
Where were you? Under the cover, Jake?
Yeah.
Like second deck?
Yeah, second deck. I think it was in like section 208 or something. Yeah. But it ended up working out great for me.
I don't mean this as a slam at all. And I really don't because I like Tom Petty. I was never Tom Petty nuts, but I mean, I like Tom Petty. But his voice was never exceptional. His voice was cool. So at 66, it's easier to keep a cool voice than it is to keep an exceptional voice.
Yeah.
Having said that, I meant what I said before. He could have played until he was 86.
I saw Petty years and years ago, and I didn't say, oh, I have to go see Petty. I went with a friend who liked him, and it was a fantastic concert.
Yeah.
He put on a really good show. Great band.
I think, Jake, you would know because you're a groupie. Most of the band original guys?
I think so. Yeah. Not 100% on that.
He played with most of his guys forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, 6:29. We have, for your benefit, leftovers from show number 1,000 yesterday.
Yes.
That we're going to give away all week. So we're going to continue to give away stuff from the 1,000 show. We also have several nice folks who called to record congratulatory messages. And because they were nice enough to do it, we'll sprinkle those in this week as well. Because, you know, honestly, what's the chance we're going to get to 2,000? Let's be honest.
Well, you're a giver, too, so.
Well, I'm a giver, but, you know, I mean, I don't want the listeners to hear this, but I'm very likely to be fired before we get to 2,000.
No.
Can we agree on this?
You didn't think you'd make
it. Oh, is this on the air?
Do you have an estimated date for 2000 so we can, what was?
Well, 4 years from yesterday.
Would that be 4 years?
Okay. No.
You didn't think you'd make it to 1,001. And look, here
we are.
I didn't
think I'd make it to four.
Here we are.
Yeah.
So. Well, it's still early in the show.
Right. What you said. All right. So just listen for, are we using Abigail Grace as well? Boy, I tell you what, I better start kicking in more to the college fund.
Oh my God. She was so funny and so cute yesterday.
And she made a
so
lot of
many
money.
Ways.
She made like $120 yesterday.
She got a little
she?
Blackhawks jersey that said Abigail on it.
Yeah, which looks fabulous.
Oh my God.
We do have one incident though from yesterday.
I heard about this. I didn't see this.
I don't want to make a big deal about this because I don't want to ruin the evidence when it goes to court.
Oh, she's got a good case, I think.
It was an accident.
We should ask Karen Condry.
I was a witness.
She was
as the defendant, of course you're going to say it was an accident. But you knocked down Abigail Grace, an innocent 21-month-old.
I heard about this. I didn't see it, but I heard.
You, Dave, for those of you not.
And it was only a tile floor, too.
Yes.
I heard she face planted. You pushed her down and. She didn't. She had one tear.
No.
She got up
no,
and looked up.
No, she didn't
up,
cry at all.
Looked
she
up
looked
at
up
Dave
at me like what is your problem?
Yeah, she should have seen her face. It was pretty funny.
we went to depose her yesterday with one of the attorneys, but it's hard to understand her. She's got a lot of words, but she doesn't have all the words.
You got, I think, honestly, ask Karen Conti, but I think she's got a great case.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, now this is just an example. Don't call yet. The second time you hear this at some point, could be even this hour, you will be a big winner if you call our number 7. Abigail?
1,000.
Bye, guys.
1,000th show.
Close.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah, close. Yeah, close.
It's good that she just said show, so you can play it again for the 2,000.
She's got a lot on her mind.
Yeah. And 1,000th is really hard to say.
No
I
kidding.
Can't even say it. 1,000th.
No, just made that clear. at 6:32, Kid of the Week coming up. Stand by for that and listen for Abigail Grayson, be the 7th caller at 312-981-7200. Stand by for all of that, but first big story time now, and Andrea is back with it.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Oh, by the way, legendary music critic and one of the great music writers of all time, Greg Kot, will be on talking about Tom Petty at about 8:40 this morning. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of great kids doing great things. One of the things I really like about Kid of the Week is it's not just little kids doing adult things with charitable causes. It's older kids doing great things. It's middle school kids doing great things. And today's a perfect example when Benjamin, who essentially was a freshman, had volunteered at least a couple hours every week for the Village of Tinley Park as an editor and cameraman for the two Village-produced public access shows. He also records Village meetings. I mean, he's getting a career going before he goes to college. At Marion Catholic, he's a four-year member of the cross-country team, received the teammate award at 3 meets this year alone, member of the History Club, Political Club, Model UN, Dominican Ambassadors, Recruitment Corps, the volleyball team, and gives up his study hall time to aid for a favorite teacher. He's been called upon numerous times to host shadowing grade school students, and he maintains great grades, even honors in AP, and always helps at home. That's a good kid. Who's not so much a kid anymore as Benjamin joins us. Hey, dude, thanks for getting up.
Thank you. Good morning.
Would you normally be up at this hour?
Oh, yeah. I'd normally be driving to school about
okay.
now.
Okay. You're a senior?
Yes.
What are you going to do next year, do you know?
Definitely go to college. I'm not sure where. I'm currently applying to multiple schools.
Yeah? What do you want to study?
I'm not sure yet.
Well, we're going to need an answer, Benjamin. We keep a record of all of these.
I really like math and history, so probably something in that field.
You think you want to teach someday?
Possibly.
Well, you know, obviously with your record of helping people, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
How about a videographer? Could work at Channel 9.
I mean, that's more of a passion. I don't know if I could do, I don't know if I would want to make a job out of it, but I really enjoy doing it.
So if you were to go out and shoot a story, say that Andre or Dave covered, would you just be annoyed with them because talent's annoying?
No. I'm sure they're great people.
Thank you, Benjamin.
He really is a good kid, isn't he?
Thank you, yes.
Tremendous kid.
He's a good kid.
He's my favorite.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have 3 older brothers.
3 older, you said?
Yes.
Did they take to giving back and doing all the helping you're doing, or were they laying around where you were doing all the work?
Oh, no. They also volunteered a lot. 2 of my brothers actually volunteered also for the Tinley Park television studio, too. So.
Okay, good.
That's a great all-access channel because I grew up in Orland-Tinley yeah. area. They do the council meetings. They interview all the school athletes. It's a really good channel, too.
I like the car chases.
No, there's yeah. no car
yeah,
chases.
Car chases are good. And Benjamin, it sounds to me like you got a pretty good situation going on at home where, you know, you got family members who are encouraging of you, and I think that's really important for people to hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my parents are great.
So, are you still on the volleyball team?
Yes.
Are you guys any good?
We try our hardest.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. That's a good start.
We're a smaller team, so it's kind of hard to get, like, a lot of good players out.
And where are you? Are you, Dave, help me out, volleyball positions. Are you a center fielder?
Maybe a setter?
A setter. That's the word I was looking for.
Spiker.
I'm an outside, so I play the front row and spike and block, but I also play the back row and pass.
Yeah, we got to rotate. Oh, no, wait, yeah. That's gym
good
class.
Job, Steve.
But he's in cross country now. So how's that going, Ben?
It's going pretty good. You know, it's always good to get out in there and get, like, a good run in for practice or for a race.
Let me tell you something, Ben. Take care of your knees. Because at some point, you could be 56 and your knees will hurt. And you don't want that.
Yeah, my cross-country coach actually has pretty bad knees from all the years that he's been running.
Right, right. For me, it's from watching people run. But Benjamin, I'm very happy to have you on the program and happy to tell people you're Kid of the Week because you've done great things with your life, and I have no doubt that'll continue with whatever college you choose. We've got Lou Malnati's Pizza. We've got Amazon gift cards for you, but mostly we've got recognition. You're this week's Kid of the Week.
Thank you.
All right, man. Hold on. Nice guy.
Great kid.
I like that Benjamin. I like them all, though,
great
right?
Young adult.
Be a little unusual if we did a Kid of the Week and I went, well, that loser.
This apparently he's Dave's favorite.
Well, he is now. He said we're good people.
Yeah, he doesn't know either one of you.
Okay.
I like them.
Go to WGNRadio.com/contest. Submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week from Allstate. And tune in every Tuesday right about this time as we tell you who the new Kid of the Week is, because we do it every single week. We've got a bunch of sound to get to later. Obviously, keeping an eye on the Vegas and the stories out of Vegas and Puerto Rico. The president will be in Puerto Rico later today and in Las Vegas tomorrow.
1,000.
Bye, guys.
1,000th show.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Steve, it's your friend Willie Geist calling to congratulate you on 1,000 shows. You were so nice that first time you had me on. I know you thought you booked my dad. Accomplished author, beloved humorist, veteran of the Chicago Tribune. You thought it was him. I heard the disappointment in your voice that first time, when it was actually his young son, Willie.
Yeah.
But you've still had me on time and time again, and I've so enjoyed our visits. Congrats on 1,000, my friend.
And now you know. 6:54, coming up, Annabelle Laval on her parents and her home in Puerto Rico, where she grew up, and what's going on from a an eyewitness standpoint, through what her parents have told her, her brothers told her. Alex Stone will join us from Las Vegas after 7:30. Greg Kot on Tom Petty passing after 8:30, and of course Dean will be on. We got some folks coming in from Motown the Musical, and Wang Dang Doodle results later. We didn't talk about this much yesterday, but again, I want to urge you, if you get a chance to see Hamilton, go now. Just go right now. That's how good it is.
After the show, go.
Yeah, but we have a text question today that comes out of this. And Ross brought this up, and I think it's true. I can't think of anything else that gets hyped as hard as Hamilton has been hyped that could even possibly live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it's better than the hype.
Yeah, totally agree.
The only person we know of, Dave, that wasn't thrilled about it was your dad. And your dad had reason not to be. Your dad's how old?
93.
He's not exactly a rap guy. He's not exactly.
No, he had a little trouble with following
the lyrics,
some of the lyrics.
Yeah. But. And as you said, because you've seen it twice now,
mm-hmm.
the second time you pick up even more than
yeah,
you missed.
I enjoyed it even more. I loved it both times.
Worth every penny.
Absolutely.
Completely agree.
And I highly encourage you to find tickets and get tickets if you can, because it's tremendous.
You know what Broadway in Chicago does too? They have, if you sign up for their alerts, they have, I don't want to say this if they don't do it for Hamilton, but they do it for all of their shows, 25 on the 25th. So you can get $25 tickets on the 25th of the month, but you have to do it at a certain time. You know, you have to either be in line at a certain time or be online.
They're also doing that day of show thing, right?
Where
they have, I think, 44 tickets that they sell for $10 a piece.
Right, for the same day. It's like Hot Ticks.
Yeah. And it's funny. You know, the theater supposedly seats 1,100 people. It looks like a living room. You know, it's not a big theater. I'm a private bank theater where this show is.
It's a great history lesson, and they did it for Chicago public school students too, yeah. So they got to see it.
It makes you want to, you know, and that's the thing, right? That's the best testament of all. It makes you want to go out and learn more about Alexander Hamilton if you don't know his story. So, I promise you, the character you're going to love most, King George.
Oh, King is great.
Kills it.
King George in 2.5 songs. Steals a show.
Oh, God, yeah. Right? The first time you see him on stage, oh, God.
We got to get him on. He's an actor named Alexander, I think it's Jegamani or something. I apologize for not knowing his last name. But we got to get him on. Because I would like him in person to be just as pompous as he was as King George. Anyway, high endorsement of Hamilton. So here's your text question.
Gemignani.
Gag,
that's not the text question. Alexander Gemignani.
Oh, first off, we got to get him a better stage name.
Yes.
Alexander Smith.
And that's maybe shortened.
So we're going to see if we can get him in. All right, so here's your text question. What were you late to the party to? Because I was late to the party to this.
I'm still late. I haven't gone yet.
Right, but I was talking about going 2 years ago. Has it been 2 years? Whenever it opened, a year and a half, whatever it was. Whenever it opened, I was going to go, yeah, I'm going to go this week. I'm going to go next week. What are you late to the party to?
Late to the party and it lives up to the hype or just late to the party to?
In general.
Okay.
Like Nick DiGilio got his first cell phone about 6 months ago. That type of thing. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Okay. We'll come back to that. Let's see. Kimberly from Prairie Grove won 4 tickets to Mecum Chicago 2017, October 5th through the 7th, the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center. Man, is that a great hotel. Mecum is the world leader in live auctions of collector and classic cars, open to buyers, sellers, and spectators as well. You can get details at WGNradio.com/events. 4 tickets for that. Pretty cool. And more to come. Listen for Abigail to tell you to call in and win. We got leftovers. Leftovers from the 1,000 show. We're going to give them away all week. At 6:58, let's come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I expect that tomorrow morning you'll see Coast Guard helicopters in the air and Coast Guard cutters in the vicinity of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands beginning to perform life-saving search and rescue missions.
I've never seen winds like this in Puerto Rico. You take a look at what's happening there and just one after another, but I think we are doing a good job.
Our prayers go out to all the people of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. The Coast Guard will be ready to respond. You can count on us being in the air and on the water as soon as the storm passes.
All right, quickly, how long ago was that? That's the beginning of the Puerto Rican disaster. How long ago? You ready?
Yeah.
A week. It was a week ago. Have we ever had a year like this where it's just one after another, one just terrible story after another, and you go, oh, okay, when was that? It feels like a year ago. It's a week ago.
The Red Cross did a statement yesterday. They said, oh, we're accepting monetary donations, and they started listing Harvey, Irma, Maria, and then they stopped and said, for all of the natural disasters that have occurred this year.
Let's get some real perspective. Anna Balavala has done an amazing job keeping people up to date on Facebook because everybody's been asking for her help as well. Her parents are there. Her brother's there. This is her home. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
So what do we know? What's the truth of this as the president goes there today? First off, how are your parents doing?
My parents are okay. It's weighing on them a little bit now because they worry about my brother and sister-in-law. They have no power still. And they were using the generator from the neighbor to keep their refrigerator going, and that broke. So when I told my mom we were going, because we're going tomorrow as WGN continues the coverage of Puerto Rico, and we're going to stay with my parents, my mom said, you know, I don't think I can cook for you. I can't find meat. You know, the line at the supermarket was a little bit long, but it moved fast. So it's now they're on survival mode and they're making the best out of it. They know that they're the lucky few that have their building still standing and their home intact. My brother knows that he's lucky, too. But every other day is a different story, meaning some days my sister-in-law says you need to take your niece to Chicago and sign her up for high school because her school's going to start with no power. Then some days she says, oh, we're seeing progress. Today it only took an hour, or today it took 45 minutes to get gas. So, you know, they're in survival mode. It's interesting, Steve, because they don't have TV, Wi-Fi. So I've spoken to some people who've made it to the mainland after being in the hurricane, and they say now is when we find out how awful things have been.
Well, that's interesting. They had to come here to see the coverage of how bad it was.
Yes, because they have no power. So
right.
Unless you're in one of these towns that has been decimated, if you're in the metropolitan area and you're in survival mode, you come here and say, oh, my God, look at what I just survived, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought it was ridiculous that the president keeps tweeting about it to the people of Puerto Rico. I wouldn't think checking their Twitter feed is a big, big priority right now.
No, the social media, the way they've been using it is that the few that have Wi-Fi and can access social media, they ask for help. They want a refrigerator for insulin. They want somewhere you know, a generator for a young man in Bayamon that needs, needs a respirator, and his generator is failing. It's cries for help, or telling each other, this supermarket has a shorter line. This gas station took me only 15 minutes. So they're in survival mode, so they don't really have time to get into a whole political infighting.
Your family and your home being hit this way is very tough, very emotional for you. But I know that people have been asking you for help, too, and trying to help find out about their family members. How are you handling all that?
It's very tough. My coworkers are very worried because I've been told by many friends to prepare myself, because what I'm going to see tomorrow is not the home that I left back in April when I saw it. Because the landscape is sad, you know, it almost looks like winter, and we don't really have a winter. The trees are gone, and it's going to be tough. Emotionally, it's been hard, but I feel so useless because I'm over here that I will listen to people.
We should. You're right. No, I get that. I totally get that. And I get your mom being worried about cooking dinner for you when you come. It should be the least of her worries, but that's a mom thing to do. I fully support you going back, and I'm glad Channel 9 is part of this.
I'm absolutely, you know, Jen Lyons, our news director, and Paul, our...
The boss, Paul Rennie.
The main boss. I mean, Paul Rennie sent me a personal note when this happened. Whatever you need, they've helped me with a PSA. The fundraising has been incredible all over, and everyone wants me to promote their fundraiser. So we put on my Facebook page at the top, you'll find out all the information on how to promote your fundraiser, where to go to find. Steve, you're not going to believe it. It's been 2 weeks, and people still haven't heard from family members.
It's crazy.
It's awful. Hey, Anna, we've enjoyed, I shouldn't say enjoyed, but your pieces are so heartfelt, and the interviews that you've been doing and your Facebook Lives and all your social media that you're putting up is just so heartfelt. What struck me is that some of the people you talk to still have just a positive attitude, you know, like we're survivors. Have you seen a lot of that, you know, just you go into survival mode and just immediately helping each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My mom says that the day after the hurricane, all their neighbors in a fancy building came out and helped each other clear the street. And in Puerto Rico, you'll find a fancy building with not such a fancy neighborhood behind it. And they walked to the back of their building and clear that, too. They understand the magnitude of what this is. And they understand that help is slow for many reasons. So they're taking it upon themselves. We've seen this chef from Washington, D.C., Jose Andres, who came to cook in Puerto Rico. Those are Puerto Rican chefs that are helping him. I get stories from friends of mine. Please do a story on these guys that are trying to help this mangrove. And please do the story about these other chefs that used to have a truck yard for food, and now are feeding people on the island. So there are so many positive in this negative of people helping people, of Puerto Ricans helping each other out until the major help comes over.
Stay safe and do what you need to do. And yeah, expect it to rock you to the core, but good for you for doing it. And thanks to Channel 9 for covering it as well. But you know, whatever you need to help get the word out, just let us know.
Absolutely, guys. If I have a signal, or if I'm back to being 15 and I have to borrow my mom's phone because it's the only one that works, I will totally check in with you guys. We're going to play it by ear. We're going to try to go into some of those areas where people have been asking, you know, for information on their families. But it's a tricky situation, and we can't broadcast from everywhere.
Sure.
And so we ask for your patience, but we're doing our best, and I really appreciate you guys keeping Puerto Rico in mind, because we could have easily been forgotten.
We love you. We love you. Get there safe. Get back safe, and check in if you can. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I love you, too. Bye-bye.
That's Annabelle Laval from Channel 9. Got to be heartbreaking. You can picture her. It's way different than seeing the pictures on TV when she lands at an airport she's known and a city she's known her whole life. That's going
to
be hard.
And then to go home and find what was used to be there not there anymore.
Yeah. It's very tough. So good for her for going, and good for Channel 9 for sending her. All right, look, it's 7:17. We got a lot to do here. Listen, what were you late to the party to? I was late to the party to Hamilton. No way could live up to the hype. It was better than the hype. Got some great texts. I'll read a few of those coming up. Got a bunch of sound we need to get to. Jimmy Kimmel is turning into a late night network news show. So we'll talk about Kimmel. You know, Kimmel's a Las Vegas native, so he had a few things to say about what happened in his hometown too. /7:21 CBS reported yesterday afternoon that Tom Petty had died. Initial report turned out to be erroneous, but in fact, he had a massive heart attack. He was taken to the hospital, was on life support. His family chose to disconnect that, and he did die yesterday. Tom Petty dead at 66. Very sad story. I mean, the guys appeared to be, you know, just finished a summer tour, very healthy.
You know, that was an alert that came over, and I thought, no. Mm-hmm. And I was almost hoping. You don't want to hope something's a hoax or whatnot.
Well, in that case, you do.
Yeah, but yeah. I thought, oh, no, please don't be true.
And celebrities are, made dead on social media all the time. It turns out not to be true.
Wasn't it TMZ that reported?
TMZ actually reported he was alive, that he hadn't died. CBS had the incorrect report first. Hmm. So, but Tom Petty, we'll play the Tom Petty music this morning just as a little reminder of how great he was. The hit list is long. Mike Jacobson produces this program, and Mike is an enigma to me because Mike's 32 years old, I guess, or so he claims. But he's got weird musical tastes. Like, he likes stuff that wasn't around when he was born.
He's like an old soul.
He's just old.
No, he's young.
And ironically, I look like I'm 22.
It's the voice. Yeah. I think it's the voice.
Younger.
Yeah. You think that's what makes him like old music?
No, it makes him seem older.
Because he loves Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Those, what's that grazing on the grass crap you always play that drives me nuts?
You like Stevie.
No, that's not Stevie. That's not Stevie.
I love Billy Joel, too.
What's wrong with
you
Billy
like
Joel?
You like Billy Joel, though.
I love Billy Joel.
I mean, you are Billy Joel.
I am Billy Joel.
So is Dean Richards.
The old, nearly dead Billy Joel. What do you think the greatest risk factor for heart disease for Tom Petty was is a text question. I don't know if they're trying to make a point or they're asking. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
And, all right, so we've got some text question answers here. What are you late to the party? Oh, and somebody said smoking. Was he a big smoker? I don't know. With that voice, it wouldn't surprise me.
Boy, I don't know.
Did he smoke on stage during the show? He didn't do the Keith Richards thing where he had a cigarette dangling out of his lips.
No, anyway, yeah, Wrigley, you're saying?
Yeah, how was Keith Richards still alive?
I don't know. Or Eddie Van Halen used to. Remember he had tongue cancer, but remember he used to take his cigarette and put it in his guitar strings and his butt?
The funny thing at the Wrigley show was Tom Petty wasn't smoking on stage, but Mark Grace was in the corner puffing in the dugout, which was very strange.
Right. Still back where he belongs. This comes again from Hamilton. I went to see Hamilton finally Saturday with the family. Loved every second of it. I was late to the party. Were we late to the party, too? Bunch of texters here. 847. I just created a Twitter account 2 days ago.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
630. I'm not going to the party. Facebook.
A lot of people want to, not boycott, but don't want to be on Facebook. A lot of the millennials.
This person just never went. Mm-hmm. Never went. Let's see. 847, Steve, congrats on your 1,000th show. We're going to have a bigger party when Sinclair takes over and they fire you.
Oh, man. Guys, you stop texting
we'll
Steve.
We'll see.
Boy.
Let's see. I was a little late to the Harry Potter party. I was in third grade and apparently a hipster. First Harry Potter book shows up. I'm in third grade. I'm not going to be a part of that. Thought it was too cool, and too popular. There's a kid that lives under the stairs. That kid's, I don't want to know about that. 4 years later, I picked up the fourth book. I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah.
Late to the Harry Potter party. I'm late to streaming music. I still have a bunch of CDs. I love my CD collection.
I have mine in the basement.
I'm 36 years old. You have what in the basement?
The CDs.
But I have my albums in the basement.
All right. I have my 8-tracks. Yeah. Let's see. I'm late to the party on this whole man romper thing. Remember the romp him?
Oh, those are awful.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's okay to be late for that.
Yeah, we should all skip that party.
Those should be gone.
I'm late to the party for trying my hand at road tripping. Now I'm hooked. I've driven to all the lower 48. That actually sounds like fun.
Yeah,
driving. So that would be fun to go to all 48 states. Should add them up. How many states have I stumbled into?
I bet you've been to a lot.
That's a lot, yeah. But you've traveled all over the world.
Yeah.
All right, here's a few more. Let's see. Did I mention the Titanic one?
No.
No.
I'm late seeing the Titanic. Still haven't.
Okay, I was late to the party with seeing Gone with the Wind. I hadn't seen Gone with the Wind until about 2 or 3 years ago. I just never had a desire. I'm not a... I love movies, and I love entertainment, but I'm not an old, old movie buff. And I had never seen it, and finally saw it, and I thought, eh.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I did. Maybe because it was an older movie, and now they have all the, you know, computer graphics.
Well,
and,
it's a classic.
Yeah, it's just okay. It's
just okay. It's Gone with the Wind. What do you mean it was just okay?
It was just okay.
That's like
tell that to the people of Atlanta.
I know. I'm sorry.
Late to the party, 224. I finally saw Wonder Woman. I loved it.
That's not too late to the party, though.
847. I've never seen any of the Star Wars movies. I'm 51.
Oh, you got to see those.
Wow.
They're awesome.
Got to.
What's how about that? Right?
I haven't seen Godfather yet.
That's right. I forgot about that. You never saw Godfather.
Don't spoil it. It's only 40 years old.
It's like, I don't care. I don't care to see it. I saw parts of it. I saw the horse head. That's enough.
Well, that's not
Godfather
the scene.
Is
that's not the scene you're watching. Stop.
Godfather 1 and 2 are classics.
It's an epic story of an American family that just happens to kill a bunch of people.
Both
like,
of those
I don't
are
see The Sopranos.
Both
either.
Of those are remote droppers, though. Nick calls those the remote droppers, where as soon as they're on, even though you've seen Godfather 100 times.
Oh, I take the batteries
times,
out of the remote.
Yeah,
just throw the batteries
just
across
keep
the
watching
room.
It.
And there's somebody on this show. Somebody told me, who was it? Somebody didn't see Blazing Saddles. Somebody on the station had never seen Blazing Saddles. That to me, blasphemy.
I've never seen a Star Wars in its entirety, any of the movies.
At your age?
Wow.
Never seen any.
Mike. Oh, I have them on VHS. I'll give them to you.
Yeah,
Lord of the Rings. I've never seen any of those, that stuff.
Yeah,
I've never seen Lord.
Are you
going
to give Mike the VCR? He needs to play it?
I got a VCR. It doesn't work, but I'll give you that in the VHS tapes. You want to buy them?
I'm 50 years old. I just saw It's a Wonderful Life 5 years ago, and I'd never watch it again.
Yeah, that's another one. It's good, but...
It's a holiday classic.
I know.
You got to watch it every year.
I do. Christmas Story is better, though.
Oh, stop it. George Bailey is spinning in his grave. 729. Hey, as we continue, we have leftovers, and we'd like to pass those leftovers on to you. We're celebrating the 1,000 show all week, and on Facebook and Twitter as well. Head to WGN Radio's Facebook page. Any comment of a message of congratulations on the post pinned to the top of the page is a chance. We shouldn't just leave it to congratulations. We should leave it to any comment. I mean, I'm reading the contest rules here, but if you want to call and rip me, they should be eligible to win as well. Creeps. Every day this week at 7:35, we'll be tweeting out a chance to win a prize. Well, that's going to happen in just a few minutes. All you need to do is favorite that tweet or retweet it, and you're in the running to win that prize. Or keep listening for the special sound. When you hear Abigail Grace, it's your cue to call and win. Thank you to all the partners, all the sponsors, and mostly thanks to you for listening and supporting the program. We appreciate it very much. Coming up on 7:30, we'll do the big story next on 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We ran, I don't know. We ran, we climbed. It felt like forever. We couldn't get over the fence. The fences wouldn't come down. We finally got to a brick wall, and as you can imagine, most of us women are wearing shorts. We're trying to climb this brick wall that's 4 feet higher than us, trying to figure out how are we going to get short women to climb over this thing. When I look back, I was running, and I look back, and you just see people laying out on the floor, and you just go.
Thankfully, none of us can imagine the horror of Sunday night in Las Vegas, Jason Aldean concert. Interrupted by, and by the way, I don't know if people are aware of this, 7 minutes of gunfire. It took 7 minutes to do all that destruction. We don't know how many of the 500-plus injuries, 527 confirmed injuries, were because of the stampede that went on. But we know a lot of those people are still fighting for their lives this morning. Let's get an update on all this from Alex Stone, ABC in Las Vegas. Alex, good morning.
Hey, Steve, good morning. And here along the strip right now, still the area around Mandalay Bay shut down. Crime scene tape across the Vegas Strip, flashing police lights here. This is still a crime scene. They've removed all of the bodies, but They now need to spend quite some time trying to piece this whole thing together. They hope to get, maybe later today, some of those survivors to allow them to come back to get all their stuff. There's just stuff everywhere of bags and shoes that people ran out of, and clothing, and you know, just everything. So they can come back and do that and get their cars as well if their cars are around here. But the big question right now, Steve, is why? And they cannot put their finger on why he did this. You've got on one side family members saying this was a happy retiree, that he wasn't really into guns, had a couple of handguns, but was well off in life money-wise, had a couple of mil in the bank, and had been doing well and seemed happy. On the other side, you have police saying not into guns. He had 42 guns, many of them long guns, some modified. 23 of them were in the room with him. Clearly, he had some training based on how he handled these guns. And at his home, explosives. In the hotel room, a hammer to get through the high-rise style glass, a special hammer to break that kind of glass, that he had, according to one source, a video camera he set up to record his massacre. So it may be on tape somewhere that the police may be reviewing. They won't say. But you've got this guy who planned out this whole thing and had all these weapons, and they don't know why. Doesn't look like international terrorism. What is it? They say they just can't figure it out.
The motive is the key here. Isn't the woman, the companion, who's now where? The Philippines? Isn't she the key to this?
Yeah, she's in Japan. Everybody thought the Philippines early on. Police did as well, but she's in Japan. She could be the key, but they don't know. It now appears that she moved out about a month ago, and so they don't know how close they actually were, and they have cleared her. They say she is not, they don't think she had any involvement in this whatsoever, any knowledge it was going to happen, but debriefing her could give the best clues into his mindset and why he was buying the guns and what his intent for all those guns were. What was he saying at that time? Why did they potentially, if in fact it happened, why did they break up? But she's in Japan. They can't force her back. But right. Police say that it's crucial that they get some time to talk to her, that they want to debrief her.
The people that are still injured and in the hospital, what is the status, as we know, is to their ability to move on and survive?
Well, there are still some who are in critical condition. Some have been treated and released. There are no firm numbers yet on how many critical, and everyone's trying to compile those numbers. The focus, at least on that side of things, on the victims, is families who are coming in now. A lot of donations have come in to police headquarters. That's where the family information center is. Southwest Airlines is flying people in for free that are family members. A number of the hotels, Bellagio and others, are saying come stay here for free if you have a family member who's missing. And so you've got a lot of different companies taking care of these people who are coming in. And as they arrive, their hope is that their loved ones they haven't heard from, that they're in the hospital somewhere, that they haven't been able to make a phone call because they're, I mean, unfortunately, their hope is that they have a loved one who's critically injured and hasn't been able to get word out, because the alternative is that they died in this shooting. And so many people are coming in, finding out that their loved ones are dead, but they're arriving here waiting for word and waiting to find out what happened to their loved ones.
Alex, we touched on this a little bit yesterday, but talk again about the response time, how it seemed like it was forever, but it was very quickly that they pinpointed where he was, got up to that hallway, cleared the hallway, and got into that room. And I heard that they had found out where he was also, too, because a fire alarm was set off because of the gunpowder and whatnot.
Well, police have discredited that. There were some reports of that, and police say no, that they actually, that hotel security, along with complaints coming in from, or reports coming in from other guests at the hotel of where they saw the gunfire coming from, that that's what led them to that room, that they don't think it was actually alarms going off that led them there. May have played some role, but police say no, they don't think so. That it took a while. It took over an hour for police to find them and get there, but they were dealing with hellish conditions. The one you had reports coming in from all over the Vegas Strip that they had active shooters at New York, at Tropicana, at different hotels. Likely people were hearing the gunfire and reporting it in there as well and saying that they had an active shooter. Then people started pulling out their own guns, and they were on the Strip to protect themselves or to take on the gunman. Who knows? But police were saying, put away your guns. We're looking for an active shooter, and you're walking down the Strip with a rifle across your chest. You're now our active shooter, and there's a potential that there's going to be a problem. And then you had police responding, some plain clothed, that were running down the Strip with guns. So with all of that, people were calling in reports of gunmen all over the place, and that had police dispersed all over, trying to figure out where were the shots coming from. Nobody could figure it out. It was dark out. They didn't know that the windows were busted open in those two hotel rooms. They couldn't figure out where the gunfire was coming from until finally they triangulated it and got to that hotel suite, busted in, and then found him dead inside. A hotel security guard first tried to go in or at least knock on the door. He shot through the door and shot the security guard. Then the sworn police went in, and he was dead at that point. But it took them a while, with bullets flying all over the place and victims screaming, to figure out where it was coming from. Nobody thought bullets would be raining down on people. They thought the attacker had to be in the crowd somewhere,
right,
not thinking it was coming from the 32nd floor.
I know you got to run here, but an important distinction, because we've seen multiple reports that the shooting only covered 7 minutes. Is that accurate?
It's likely around there that it went on for that amount of time. But you got to remember, during those 7 minutes, it was brrrr, and then stop to reload, and then brrrr, and then stop to reload. It was nonstop for those 7 to 10 minutes.
Alex Stone, ABC News. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Live from Las Vegas with more to come there. There's an amazing story. Well, there's a million amazing stories. But how about this? 5-year-old Aiden Huser was enjoying a night with mom, watching the concert, when suddenly everything turned upside down. Loud pops like fireworks, then the crowd running. His mom and sister had gone to the bathroom just moments before, and he was standing with friends that were standing near him. It was 2 hours before strangers and social media reunited the 5-year-old with his family. The mother and sister didn't know if the little guy was dead or alive. Police later confirmed that at least 59 did die. During those 2 hours, Doris Huser, Aiden's mom, said she was imagining the worst. She felt completely hopeless and helpless, but wanted to stay strong for her 8-year-old daughter. As the shots rang out, Lindsay Rogers, 26, ran to a merchandise tent. There she found Aiden. He'd fallen and been separated from his aunt, his mother, and those friends I mentioned on her way back from the bathroom. The whole crowd just started rushing right at me, she said, and she didn't have half the family that she came with. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. Screaming did no good. We couldn't find them. In the tent, Rogers made the split-second decision to take Aiden with her. I was nervous to take him because I knew that his mom would be devastated to find her child was gone, but in the moment, we thought the best direction and decision was to get as many people to safety as possible, and this is a little 5-year-old boy. Rogers picked Aiden up, didn't put him down again until they'd cut through a parking lot and made it to the closest building. Rogers and her friends tried to call the police to locate Aiden's family. Eventually, nearby officers told him the best place to take a missing child was the hospital. Aiden's mother, Doris, was just buildings away, and with his big sister and his aunt, had escaped to a Hooters on the same street. But among the chaos, they had no idea they were so close to the missing little boy. As Rogers and her friends arranged for a ride from the motel to the nearest medical center, Taylor Sutton and her boyfriend, Chris, an off-duty officer with the Las Vegas Metro Police, posted photos of Aiden and his location to social media, asking for people to share it. Others did, and within 2 hours, the little boy was reunited with his mom.
Oh, my God. How terrifying.
Horrific, terrible hours. But if not for the kindness of that 26-year-old stranger, and if not for the kindness of everybody and the savvy of the folks to be thinking about social media, is a great way to find this kid a way back to his mom.
They did the absolute right thing, picking him up, taking him to safety. And can you imagine the angst that she was going through waiting for word of her son?
The worst people in the world bring out the best in the rest of us. Yep.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Sandberg's here. You have a marriage question for Dave and I?
I do, and Mary.
All right, so you're laying in bed and a conversation is going on.
I said, hey, I want to talk to you about something.
Here we go.
What do you think our plans are for when we die? Are we going to be...
Gosh.
Are you planning on...
Happy weekend!
So, you know, it was pretty good. It's a good weekend.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fine.
He wants to be in the ground. Well, I want to be cremated, but I'm not letting him be in the ground and wait for some other chick to be next to him.
Death cannot stop true love. All it can do is delay it for a while.
Mary, have you discussed this?
Yeah, my husband kind of made the decision for me because he bought our plots in our his little hometown when we were married. He goes, by the way, they were 2 for $100. I got the plots.
He got them on sale.
That's 15% off the lowest prices in town.
I go, seriously?
Hey, I got a Groupon.
I thought it was kind of romantic.
I'll give it all to you, my love,
my endless love.
Jake getting it done again. All right, if we go with the essential premise that Mary Sandberg Boyle Comcast, NBC. What do they call it now?
NBC Sports Chicago.
NBC Sports Chicago.
It's longer now.
New logo.
Yeah, I have to change the name.
That's fine, though, because Sportsnet was a weird word.
It is weird. But if we go with the basic premise that you're loony, then we have no problem segueing into what we're about to do here. Now, how many of you know that she has a fascination with laundry?
I think we've heard
that. We know
that.
Her because, yeah, we work with her, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise us.
Okay. Don't get too judgmental there, nap in the driveway.
Come on.
So having said that, nothing made you happier than what happened on last Friday. By the way, she took off a day from work to do this.
I did.
All right. So what happened?
I have two laundry rooms, and in one of the laundry rooms, the washing machine stopped working the week prior.
Oh!
And
One of your washing machines are down?
Most people would be disappointed.
Man down.
And I turned to Pat and I said, oh, we're going to get the Frigidaire. It's a top and bottom. It's one of the stacked ones.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Space saver.
Titanium. Yeah, because that's how that laundry room is set up. So,
It's titanium in color?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
And
beautiful.
How much extra was that?
It was just about $100 more because of the color.
I had a conversation with your husband about this a couple of days ago. He's thrilled.
Oh, I didn't expect, I would not have told him because he didn't even ask the price or anything like that anyway. And then he said, this is kind of a cool color. And I said, yeah, and it wasn't that much more money. He's like, it was more money because that became ridiculous all of a sudden.
So. Yeah, and by the way, this is not some 50s household where Lucy has to get Desi's permission to buy things. Right. It's just... You're talking about the money you spend as a couple, and he found the extra money silly.
Yes. And, I got it from Apt, of course, and it all happened so quickly. On Monday, you and I were talking. I placed an order. It's delivered Friday. It could have been delivered Thursday, but I wanted to take Friday off because it would kick off my weekend.
You wanted to welcome it like with the red carpet. Here they come.
Trying to celebrate by doing laundry, and we all got pictures of it.
She had balloons, poppers going off.
And even the gentleman, Kevin, who installed it, he said, this really does change the look of the room. So
it's okay, Kevin. Yeah. Look, nobody loves App more than I do. So that's why we thought, well, how can the listeners benefit from the fact that Sandberg is loony? So let me bring in Steve Shapiro from Aft Electronics. Good morning, my friend.
Well, good morning and congratulations.
Yes, on yesterday. Thank you for that very much. We all love Sandberg, but I don't know if I've mentioned this. Loony. And now, since she got the new washer dryer, you are willing to do what for us?
Well, we were giving you a LG stackable washer dryer to one of your lucky listeners.
Wow. Which are beautiful machines, I might add.
That's why you listen to the show, because an opportunity like this doesn't come along very often where you can win the Sandberg's Loony, so you get a new washer and dryer contest.
Is that the original name of the contest?
Well, I just came up with it a second ago.
That was. But I think we're calling it Appliance Palooza.
So Appliance Palooza, exactly. So give me the specs on this bad boy. What does it do?
Well, it's the latest and greatest front loads from LG. You could pretty much wash the entire neighborhood, so Mary would like that.
Yes, I would. My new machine that I just got from you, I believe it says I can do 27 pairs of jeans at once.
What?
You could.
That's what it said. So I was like, okay.
That's a lot of
everyone
jeans.
Everyone can give me your jeans.
I don't think I own 27 pairs of pants.
Unless you're living on a dude ranch, why would you have 27 pair of jeans?
Ralph Lauren's jeans.
Whole family. Yeah, stuff them in there.
Yeah. You're running your own Gap. to celebrate the 1,000th show, App's giving us this LG washer and dryer. You go to WGNradio.com/contest and enter for your chance to win. What do people need to do to enter? They just enter online? That's it?
That's easy. That's all you got to do.
You know, Steve, there was a time back in the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth, which Dave and I remember, where you'd fill out a slip and you'd put it in a cardboard box, and then eventually Steve would pick out a winner. But not anymore, Steve. Now it's all done online, baby.
Watch out.
Look out. All right, so Sandberg, any thoughts on this machine or what we need to do, or have we covered it here?
It is beautiful, and I would have gone with these machines, but they didn't fit the space that I needed, so I had to go with something else. I just want to qualify that there. But
yeah.
This is very exciting. We can make some laundry doer very happy.
And thank you, Steve. Thank you to my friends at App, but thank you, Steve, for stepping up in our time of need.
Oh, absolutely. Always there for you for all these years.
That's exactly right. When you go to App, see my friend Steve Shapiro, any of the fine folks at App. I don't need to sell you on App. You know how great it is. But pleasing people since, what, 1811?
1936.
Okay. All right,
and you can spend a day walking around Apt in the laundry department itself, admiring the machines.
How is he?
You might even run into Mary.
Yeah, I might.
How is it you don't own a laundromat?
I know, I should.
Yeah. Oh,
we have coin op if you're ready.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Start charging Pat and the kids for the laundry that you do.
I should. There is never a piece of dirty laundry in our house.
Make a little extra cash.
It was actually difficult. I had to save because I wanted laundry to be able to do in the new machines when they came on Friday. And so on Thursday, I had to hold off doing the laundry in the other laundry, in the basement laundry room, just so I had some dirty laundry.
You see what I'm talking about here, God. Steve? Do you see the issue we're dealing with here? You understand what I'm saying, Steve?
We have to get her a conveyor to go floor to floor with all the clothes.
Right. Don't give her ideas. Stop it, Steve.
Thank you, Steve Shapiro at Apt Electronics. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate this very much.
Have an awesome day, everyone.
All right, see you later.
Thanks.
So how about that? Win your own LG washer dryer. We're giving away to one lucky listener. Just go to WGNradio.com/contest. Enter for your chance to win. So what we might do, Dave, is go through all the staff members and take a quirk from each one of us and turn it into a big giveaway.
Okay, but that's going to take a long time to do.
No, not necessarily. And what about, I know all of your quirks.
What if we don't have quirks?
Okay.
I don't mean me. I just meant this. What if there's someone on the staff?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Greg Kot coming up, talking about Tom Petty. Petty died yesterday at 66. Good morning, Dean. Is he on that cruise ship already?
Oh, I don't think so.
He was leaving this week on a cruise. I think he would have told us.
Hello, Dean.
I mean, he should have told us.
By the way, Dean, while we're waiting for him, emceed the AIDS walk run on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
One of the largest attended AIDS walk runs. He's 16 years in a row. Dean has emceed it.
Yeah, he does a nice job
really
of that.
Great turnout.
He does a really nice job. Maybe that's why he's not on. Maybe he was tired.
I think it's one of the most colorful walks, too. People wear different costumes.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
There was a man we interviewed named Tom, and he calls himself the Critter Man because he wears critter chaps. So it's like chaps.
Are they like Dave's?
Yeah, similar, only they're not backless. But they're chaps, and they have stuffed animals on each one for each amount. So if he raises $100, he puts like a little starfish. If he raises another $100, he puts an Elmo on.
Right.
But
all this makes sense to me.
I'll show you the picture, so you have to see it to understand it. But
we're stalling, obviously,
because yeah,
we're standing by for Dean.
I think it's a colorful story.
It is. There's no question.
Or we can just talk about Dave's chaps.
No, I think we've covered that as well. All right, we'll try to find Dean. We don't know where he is. We do know Dean is headed out on a cruise, but I thought that was later this week. So it is later this week, Jake? Jake's nodding? Okay. In the meantime, we can go ahead. Oh, he's coming in now. Okay.
Talking to me?
There he is. Woo.
What part of we do this every day did you forget?
I was getting some special audio for you.
Okay.
I was processing some special sound.
I sure hope it's special.
Enhance today's broadcast.
Okay. When are you leaving on your cruise?
I'll be leaving Thursday.
Thursday after this segment?
Thursday after this segment.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is I couldn't help but notice on Sunday's program, and obviously we didn't talk about this yesterday, that Jim Toronto, who I find amusing. I'm amused by Jim.
He can be amusing.
Jim Toronto was he was almost clinging to you like a barnacle on a boat, speaking of ships.
Yeah.
As he tried to get on the ship and as he put be your plus one on your Greek cruise.
Yeah, he wanted to join me.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, boy, you know, we tried to make that happen, but
Well, here's the thing that I find interesting. In the list of people you don't want to be caught in an elevator with, Jim's right up there. because he's an entertaining guy, but he can creep you out a little bit.
Well put.
Dean, it takes a lot to creep Dean out. I've known Dean for a long time. Mm-hmm. I had a sense, Dean, you were about to call the authorities during the middle of that segment.
I did get a restraining order after the show.
Jim's very funny. And he did mention his cruise. He cruised at Tinley, apparently. That was one of the cruises at...
right. My dad used to say he's going to the islands. Blue Island, Stony right. Island.
Oh, I used that joke on Sunday.
Apparently all the Greeks
did. Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's I used a Greek that joke. Thing. I may have gotten it from your dad.
Probably.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I just got
the big
a text from Mary Sandberg saying, "Where the hell am I?"
Well, that seems to cover it.
Oh. Hang on.
Did you clean that up, Dean?
Do you want to respond to it?
Well, I'm just sending you my daily outline of spontaneous thoughts.
That's great. Who were you talking to when you were supposed to be on the air?
No, I wasn't talking. I seriously was. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of audio to play for you today.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get after it. Well, obviously, Petty's a big story.
I got to send you the. Wait a second. What's today's date?
The third.
Oh, yeah, third.
But you understand that in real time, this has to happen before the segment starts.
Well, most days it does. We're able to do that. It's kind of busy today.
Why don't we take a break? You can collect yourself.
No, I'm ready.
We need to take a break anyway. But do me a favor during the break.
If you want to make me wait, okay.
Do me a favor during the break. Don't wander off anywhere.
No, I'm right here. All right. I'm not moving a muscle.
It's 8:16. More with Dean, I think. Just a moment, but first let's get traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard.
Dean, I'm calling your name. Dean! 972. Dean, are you there, Dean? All right, so very sad news about Tom Petty. Obviously, on the heels of this terrible news out of Las Vegas. You were saying?
Well, just weird the way it all came down yesterday also. That, I mean, we're in the middle of all of the Las Vegas news yesterday, and then comes a bulletin over virtually every news source that Tom Petty had died.
Right.
And then about a half an hour later, some of the sources began to hedge their stories, retract their stories, and say that Tom Petty is not dead. Some were sticking with their story. There was an enormous amount of confusion that led to one of these, rumors on the – well, more than rumors. I mean, these were bona fide stories from very credible news sources that had gotten the word that Tom Petty had gone into full cardiac arrest on Sunday night at his home in Malibu, which was true. He did. He was taken to the hospital. That was true. He was put on life support. That was true. But that they had turned off life support was true. But he had not passed away when many of the news sources had gotten word from a number of sources saying that he had passed away. So they were preemptive in that. He did pass away last night at 11:30, 66 years old. He just finished his 40th anniversary concert tour. His final show was at the Hollywood Bowl in the Los Angeles area a week ago Monday. And he was here at Wrigley Field on June 29th. Appeared to be in good health, seemed to be, doing okay, but went into full cardiac arrest on Sunday night and passed away with his family and friends surrounding him, 66 years old only.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a sad story as well. And you got a bit of a montage for us?
Yeah, just a little of why, Tom Petty is so much a part of all of our lives.
Somewhere down the road away,
the end of the line.
You'll think of me and wonder where I am these days.
The end of the line.
And I'm free.
that is audio from Tom Petty's final concert at the Hollywood Bowl just about a week ago, singing Free Falling there. But how about it when you hear those old Tom Petty on the Heartbreakers songs?
Hit after hit.
Hit after hit after hit. Traveling Wilburys, we put one in there.
Played them all on the radio.
Do you know that he only had one number one album in his entire career?
No, I didn't know that.
Was in 2004. A couple albums almost made number one. But actually, only one of his albums took the number one.
I almost got fired the first time, before I got fired the first time, for playing Don't Do Me Like That too many times.
Such a good song.
I played it like out of rotation, and we had one of these genius program directors who goes, you do that one more time, you're going to get fired. So
that's all you need to say to Steve.
Right. Right. Tee that bad boy up.
Wasn't that worth me being late for the segment?
Absolutely.
To hear that montage?
Absolutely. All right. So, listen, it doesn't get any worse than this Vegas story, and I would assume Hollywood's reacting, right?
Yeah, all the late night shows. How sad is this, how commonplace this has now become when there is a national tragedy like that? These shows, which are, comedy shows pretty much, for the most part in late night, where they all took some time away from the laughs last night to, in their own ways, talk about the tragedy, especially a very emotional Jimmy Kimmel, who has a personal connection, as you will hear, to Las Vegas.
Here we are again in the aftermath of another terrible, inexplicable, shocking and painful tragedy, this time in Las Vegas, which happens to be my hometown and Cleto's hometown, Cleto Sr.'s hometown. These people showed up in droves today to donate blood because it's the only thing they could do. And so they did it. But there is more that we can do. Tell your congresspeople to do something. I mean, it's not enough to send your love and prayers.
Terrible things happen in the world. Sometimes, like today, we feel they've risen to a new level. But we cannot accept that as a new normal. This afternoon, the president called this an act of pure evil. And I think he's right. So what then are we willing to do to combat pure evil?
I've been doing this job for more than 24 years. And when I began in 1993, occasions like this were extremely rare. For me or any TV comedy host back then to come out and need to address a mass shooting spree was practically unheard of. But over the last decade, things have changed.
I don't know how to... We seem to do everything to avoid talking about guns. I've never been to a country where people are as afraid to speak about guns. Every time there's a shooting, you got to look at something else.
Forgive me, as I'm just a foreigner here, and some of you may feel I have no place to say this, but how does every other developed country do a better job at preventing these attacks?
There's James Corden on his Late Late Show.
And Trevor Noah right before him, both from the outsider, quote, perspective,
right.
Bringing up the most logical point of all. How is it we can't figure this out?
Yeah, yeah. And that really seems to be the overwhelming, the prevailing thought 24 hours later. Some of the country performer, there was a particular country performer I saw a story earlier. His name is escaping me right at the moment, but he said on stage last night that he has always been a proponent of the Second Amendment, and after what happened in Las Vegas, he is rethinking his staunch opposal to any kind of gun control. So
yeah, and you got a montage I want people to hear, or not a montage, but an amazing rendition of Amazing Grace. But I want to make a pointer just quickly. There's something called the Sportsman Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act that's sitting in Congress now that was supposed to get sort of a secretive vote this week. This would, among other things, allow silencers to be used on citizens' handguns, and at least in part before the bill is taken up by both houses, would allow concealed carry permits to transfer from one state to another. So in other words, if you had an open carry or concealed carry and you went to a state that didn't, that law would then apply. Again, it's called the SHARE Act. Yeah, I said yesterday, and I maintain this to be true, until we give those who have died appropriate services, I don't think we need to have a big gun control argument here. But you do need to do something today. And here's what you need to do. You need to let your elected representatives know that if you come anywhere near voting yes on allowing silencers to be used on citizens' guns, then you will never get my vote, and I'll do everything within my power to make sure you never work in any sort of authoritative position in politics again. How dare you? And how dare they even consider taking this up this week? And by the way, Dean, you know why they want silencers? This is the NRA's version. They want silencers on guns to protect the hearing of hunters.
One of the late night comedians last night talked about that and said, yeah, that's just what we need right now, silencers. So people can be killed and murdered in a more silent, subtle fashion.
And every cop will tell you the same thing. Without the sound of a gun, it makes solving a crime or beating back somebody who's attacking you and finding that shooter, as they had to do on Sunday night, exponentially harder. There's no reason for a sound. There's no reason for these assault weapons. And there's no reason for the stocks that allow you to build these assault weapons. Come on. This is not an attack on the Second Amendment. This is an attack on stupidity.
Making what happened at the Canyon Ridge Christian Church in Las Vegas all the more poignant, 3,500 people attended a candlelight vigil there last night, and this is what it sounded like.
Amazing grace.
Singing Amazing Grace during the service last night.
Beautifully.
Beautifully. Beautifully.
It's called the Share Act, Dean. The Share Act. Shut it down. And think about those that died. You know, we're starting to see pictures of those that died in Vegas on Sunday night. 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, 25-year-olds. People whose lives had barely begun. They just went to a concert. Just went to a concert, and this selfish, sick son of a bitch gets up in this hotel, breaks a couple of windows, and opens fire. Any responsible gun owner should be appalled and should do everything within your power to protect the rest of us, along with protecting the Second Amendment. Again, this is not about taking your gun. Nobody's going to take your gun. Get off it and do something.
Seems to be with the way a lot of people are thinking about it now, you know, 24 hours later, learning more about what happened, you know, and the sickness of the whole thing.
8:32, more with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, bud.
Big story next, 720 WGN. Music and Tom Petty. Reaching out to Greg Kot right now while we set him up on the phone. I'll remind you, were you late to the party? Can't imagine you were late to the Tom Petty party. Maybe you were. Maybe you didn't like Tom Petty until you saw him in concert this summer. But were you late to the party? That's a text question. 312-981-7200. I admitted I was late to Hamilton. I didn't see Hamilton until this weekend. It was fabulous. So we're going to go around the horn here in a few minutes and find out what the people on the show were late to the party to. Stand by for that. Legendary rock critic and one of the best rock writers ever. Greg Kot joins us. Hey, Greg.
Wow, you talking about me?
I am talking about you. You know I'm a fan.
Well, thank you.
Nice to talk to you again. Sad circumstances. Tom Petty dies at 66. How great was he?
He's pretty great. He was one of the all-timers for sure. And I think I say that as a guy who's followed not only Petty's career very closely, but that of a lot of his peers. And I think one of the things that separated Petty from a lot of so-called classic rockers is that not only did he remain relevant throughout his 40 years, but he was still putting out good stuff, even in his 60s, that rivaled his early work. He was never a nostalgia act. He wasn't a greatest hits jukebox in concert. He would play new stuff with a mix of older stuff, constantly mixing up the set lists. From that standpoint, he was a real rarity among his peers.
I got into Petty kind of in the 90s, Greg. So, I mean, maybe late 90s. So I was kind of the running down a dream era and then kind of segueing into the Traveling Wilburys, which I loved. I mean, I thought when he reinvented himself, he sounded even better.
Yeah, I mean, the Traveling Wilburys thing was like, you know, setting Tom Petty loose, the kid who grew up in Gainesville, loose in the candy store. You know, he met Elvis when he was 11 years old. He saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan when he was 14. These were transformative events for this kid. He took guitar lessons from Don Felder.
How about that?
The lead guitar player in the Eagles. This guy grew up loving rock and roll. So to be in the Traveling Wilburys with Bob Dylan, one of his idols, Roy Orbison, another one of his idols, George Harrison, maybe his ultimate idol being the great Beatles, and then Jeff Lynne, who ended up being the producer on Free Falling and a lot of his biggest hits, it was like a dream come true for him. And, you know, he just seemed to be totally appreciative of rock. When I would speak to him, I interviewed Tom 6-7 times over the years. He talked to me about music as being a truly life-saving thing for him. He had a very difficult childhood. His father used to abuse him physically and verbally because Tom wasn't into sports, and he was this arty kid who loved guitars, and his dad never could understand him. And for him, he said, music was my safe zone, was my sanctuary, and it stayed that way for him all his life.
He died just today at 66, obviously, suddenly, unexpectedly. He had just ended a tour. I said this morning, this is a guy you wouldn't have been surprised to look 20 years down the road and he'd still be playing.
Yeah, I think everybody was stunned. You know, a couple of people asked me, did you, you know, write that obit in advance? You know, I wrote this 1,500-word obit, and I said no, because I didn't see it coming. I mean, I didn't think the guy was ever going to die. I mean, for sure he was going to outlast Keith Richards. And
that's the amazing thing.
Keith is still around, and Tom isn't. Who would have said or thunk that, you know, even a week ago? It doesn't make any sense. It was so sudden for all of us. It's a real shock. I think people are still coming to grips with the idea that he's gone. I don't believe it myself in many ways.
Number one inspiration for him, was there one, or is it, as you mentioned, a little bit of everybody?
Well, you know, the Bees were big, the Beatles, the Birds, and Bob Dylan. Those were big for him.
Didn't he become friends with Dylan?
He was best buddies with Dylan. Dylan was in his band with the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, yeah.
The Heartbreakers, Petty and the Heartbreakers, backed up Dylan on one of his tours in the 80s when Bob was trying to figure out who he was. Tom Petty kind of reminded him, like, no, you're a great songwriter. You should be out there playing these songs. And I've got just the band to back you up, my band. And there you go. I mean, it was a wonderful relationship that they had. And Dylan was one of the first rock superstars to weigh in on Tom's death when he heard about it and said some very eloquent things about Tom Petty. You know, Bob Dylan, not a man who suffers fools lightly, loved Tom Petty.
So where do we read the obit you wrote?
Well, I had one in the paper this morning in the print edition for anybody who still reads that, and then it's, of course, on the Tribune website as well.
Yeah, come on. Would it be too much to ask you people to pick up a paper? Pick up a paper. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose one.
Go crazy.
Yeah, go crazy. Get three and share it with your friends and obviously see it online at ChicagoTribune.com. Always a nice to have you on the show, even in bad news circumstances. But thanks for a little bit of remembering and education on Tom Petty.
Pleasure, as always. Thank you.
See ya. Greg Kot. You know Greg Kot's good buddies with?
A lot of people.
Well, well that's a
no,
winning
answer. I don't know. I don't know who you're...
Lou Manfredini.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lou Manfredini.
Wonder if they go to concerts together.
I think they have an arrangement where Lou gets all his rock and roll from Greg, and Greg gets his fix-it stuff done at the house
right.
by Lou.
How cool would it be to go to a concert with Greg, though? I mean, he knows everything.
Yeah,
every
but here's the thing.
Piece of
I don't
background
know.
In musical
I don't know,
history.
Because I once sat through a movie with Roger Ebert, and it was a very funny movie. I saw him smirk a couple of times.
No, seriously?
It's going to work, right? Greg Kot's going to a concert. You would hope he'd have a good time, but if Greg Kot, and I don't know this to be true, but if Greg Kot went to a concert and was just tapping his toe maybe a couple of times and, you know, staring out, I wouldn't judge him. He's working.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Cochran, hey, it's Hampton. Congratulations on your 1,000th show. Wow, 1,000 shows. What's that, like 4 years? Congrats, though. I remember when I had my 1,000th practice under Dick and he gave me a concussion. By the way, who's keeping track of these shows, the 1,000? Is that Emmett's job now? Anyway, we'll look forward to your next 1,000 days of the Reign of Terror of the Cochran Show with great joy. Congrats, buddy.
What? I like that because it got around to love at the end.
Yeah.
After he beat me up for a while. Texas coming in about Tom Petty. Steve, Matt here from Wheaton 31. Now been in love with Tom Petty since first grade. First album I ever bought on my own was Tom Petty's Into the Great Wide Open. Lots of memories driving to my dad's Trans Am to soccer practice, soccer games in elementary school. Losing Bowie and Prince was enough. Now Petty. Yeah, it's happening, right? I always had this vision of like a rock and roll nursing home. Like the coolest nursing home ever. And they couldn't control him because they'd always be jamming in the cafeteria waiting for their soup.
Oh, my God. That's a great vision.
How do the Stones continue to, you know, go at their ages?
Did we lose Greg Allman, too, this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Allman, David Bowie. Man.
Well, Bowie and Prince were last year. Greg Allman was this year.
Yeah, he was this year.
But we've lost a lot in the past couple of years. Tom Petty being gone is now gone now as well. I don't know. Texters 847. I just want to be invited to the party. I won't come. This is too late to the party. I'm not even coming to the party. Let's see. Too late to the party. Texters 312-981-7200. That's the telephone number. Let me go around the room here, starting with Mary Vandeveld this time. What were you too late to the party to?
FaceTime.
FaceTime.
I just started doing it because of my grandchild.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I never really did it. I didn't care to see people when I was talking to him.
Well, what's funny is...
I want to see her.
Well, what's funny is you know, the next few months roll out. Like, when I call Abigail, where Abigail gets a regular phone call, she takes a phone and she flips it over looking for a face.
Oh.
Because, you know, she's like, well, what kind of phone is this?
She says, where's Pops?
Where's the face?
Yeah.
So these babies growing up in this generation, video phone calls will be how they make calls.
Oh, yeah. She likes looking at herself. She was cracking up looking at photos of herself eating the donut yesterday at the broadcast.
Hey, here's, Pops.
Hey, Pops.
This is another one you can look forward to, Mary. Yesterday we took her to the playground after the show, and you will never believe how fascinating it is to watch the little squirt go down a 4-foot slide.
Aww.
She's yelling across the playground, Pops! Pops!
Did you go down with her and put her on your lap?
I didn't have to.
Oh.
Yeah, she was going down alone. Of course, we put her in a complete Nerf outfit for safety and
a
helmet.
Yeah, exactly, a helmet, yeah.
No, she went down the slide on her own. Cool. But the cool thing is, you know, she wants to, you know, do little kid stuff.
Watch me do this.
It's funny, when you start showing, you said she likes to look at pictures, and when you start showing her pictures of herself, when my goddaughter was 4, she would say, still in her little baby voice, she'd go, that was me as a baby.
Oh.
I'm like, well, you're still a baby.
So cute, yeah.
So, all right, Sandra.
Go to Mike Jacobson or Mary's.
Look at you, always producing the show.
I'm sorry. Well, because he's you know, as you said, he's young, but he's an old man.
Yeah.
So his list of late to the party is extensive.
Mike Jacobson's late to the party list. What do you got?
Well, for the most, I've done a few things now that I pay
online.
I
don't think that's true.
That I pay online. But most of my stuff I still pay via check. I dropped off
Hold on a second. Yeah. You write checks?
Yep.
Oh, I do too. And he mails them.
No.
I mail them right here at the Tribune Tower.
He's 32.
With a stamp.
Mm-hmm. And a stamp.
Are you the guy at the Jewel that writes a check?
No, I will not do that. I have manners. I mean, I'm not crazy.
All right, what else?
Oh, my God.
I'm still not on Facebook. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. I sort of salute that.
Well, then you're not late to the party. You're still late.
That's
a good point. You never got to the party.
Yeah. Do you purposely boycott it? Like, I am not going on Facebook. Are you taking a stand, or is it just you haven't gotten around to it?
I don't.
He's also not on Instagram or Snapchat.
Are you?
I'm on Twitter.
You're on Twitter. Yeah.
For work.
Well, let me ask you this: are you intimidated by the technology? Does the technology frighten you?
I don't feel like I need to answer that question at this moment.
All right. What else?
And I just started doing Uber.
Really?
I live in the city, so. But I was always a cab guy, because I always felt bad for the cab.
Well, I salute that,
because every time you get in a cab, that's all they do is complain about the Uber drivers and how they're taking all their business. So
he
then I feel bad.
He also just started eating like an adult.
Well, that's because
he was eating bread and cheese.
That's because he has a very serious girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good list, actually. All right, continuing, Dave.
Okay, since Mike listed everything, say he took Uber, which was mine. See that, Mary?
I do see that.
And also coconut water.
Oh, I hate that.
I don't know that coconut water is a real trend, though.
That's so gross.
It's not a party?
Almond
milk.
No,
nobody's having a coconut water party.
It's like eating oil.
Now, I drink coconut water. It's really good.
See, I'm not a fan of
I mean, if you're even remotely dehydrated, it kicks in quick.
Right.
No, I think you need to work harder on that list. I'm going to have to give you a C.
He was ahead of the game, though, on the kale. He was probably a pioneer in that.
He actually threw the party for kale.
Yeah, but no one will party.
Steve Grzanich, what were you late to the party to?
Well, considering Mary just said that being late to the party is like not being at the party, there's a lot of things I'm not at the party at.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, I just
not at that party.
Yeah, but I'm not going to that party.
I literally just joined that party a month ago. I'm hooked.
I have no doubt it's a great show. I won't watch it.
Yeah, me either. So, that might be your home.
What else?
You guys are playing this
Although,
all wrong.
I'm sure winter is coming.
Oh,
okay. What else?
Steve, see, I'm so geeked out.
Steve, what else? You got
Uber. Yeah, I have never been in an Uber.
And you're a city guy.
I've never been in an Uber.
What? Come on.
No way. We're going for an Uber ride after the show.
No, we're not, actually.
Never Why? Eaten Let's do kale.
Oh,
can I tell you something?
Kale.
Plans to eat kale.
This is not to the party, not late to the party.
Yeah, everybody's confusing this question.
But I will throw this in as well. This is an absolute true story. I've never been on a train, CTA or Metra, in my 25 years in Chicago.
Come on.
Oh,
never.
Wow. Really?
Never.
You got to ride the L.
As a matter of fact, I've never been on a bus. Never been on a CTA bus.
You need to ride an L.
You've never been on the L.
I've never been on the L. Never been on Metra.
Never been on Amtrak.
Holy cow. Nope.
Oh, I bet Abigail will get you on a train because little kids like trains.
I've been on trains in Europe. I've been on the subway in New York. I've been on trains.
Well,
you're
going to take her to Europe to try it out?
Yeah,
I've been on
trains. Riding the L is such an experience, let me tell you.
Been on Amtrak.
After the show, we'll take the L, and then we'll Uber back.
Yeah, go to Wrigley on
there
the
you
L.
Go.
Make sure you manspread
go
on the
Wrigley,
way.
Go to Wrigley,
Yes,
hello.
Dave and I are having a field trip.
I could pay some bills while we're on the Metra via online.
Yeah, exactly.
On my phone.
Andrea?
All right. Mine was what it was before. I had never seen Gone with the Wind. And people are like, how can you not have seen that? It's a classic.
Oh, I'm judging you. Yeah, I'm judging you as well. Who else is judging Andrea?
And I honestly didn't really like it that much. It's not to me. I don't think it's a classic. But I was the Gone with the Wind party. People couldn't believe that I had never seen that movie.
And Sandberg, what are you late to the party to? Stackable washer dryers?
I'm on trend with everything.
So what's the answer?
All right, of course you are.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, baby, give me one more chance.
Back live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, show number 1001 continues. And whenever you hear Abigail, world's perfect granddaughter, now 21 months old, tell you to call in. You can win some of these prizes. This is a heck of a leftover list, right?
Hey, how much Blackhawk swag did Abigail go home with yesterday?
$100,000 worth, yeah.
She had a cute hat, a cute vest, a jersey.
She got the puck from the clincher in 2010, didn't she?
Yeah.
She had it.
Yeah, she had it the whole time. But Coral from Berwyn just heard, called, won $75 gift card to Greek Islands, America's most popular Greek restaurant, with locations in Chicago's Greek town and Lombard. And I assume that's where your cousins work?
Yep, Angelo and everybody at Greek Islands and Lombard and downtown. Mm-hmm. Say happy 1,000th show to you and hello to everybody here in Opa.
As we continue, Motown the Musical is a smash hit, and we have one of the stars in studio. Your name is?
Hi there. I'm Eric Peters. I'm originally from Minneapolis, but I went to school in Chicago, so it's great to be back.
Nice to see. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Northwestern up in Evanston.
Not familiar with it. Dave, are you?
So, school, let's see, if you go up north, like
and
through
just
Rogers
keep driving
Park, keep
until
going,
you get to a
going
Evanston,
campus. Yeah, you'll see it
with
right
a whole
there
lot of smart
lake.
People.
Yeah, very, very smart.
Did they change the entrance requirements after you got there?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they did.
Well, nice to meet you. Congratulations on the success. Where'd you
Thanks
start?
So much. I started doing theater in Minneapolis when I was
pretty
young. Yeah,
which theater?
Did you
do the Guthrie?
I did not, no, unfortunately. Yeah. It's really funny because Minneapolis is a huge theater town.
Yeah. I lived up there for about 5 years.
Oh, sure.
I love the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I do too. Don't get me started. I won't stop talking about it. Yeah. But no, I actually, it's funny because I didn't really end up going, I didn't grow up in the theater necessarily so much, but then I started doing it in school a little bit, and then I started in high school.
What was your first part in school?
In eighth grade, I played Duty in Greece. It was the first show that my middle school had ever done, and it was just a good time. And then
Remind me, Duty was who?
He's not very important, I'll tell you that much.
Duty was chorus?
More or less. So he pretty much sings one song and then kind of
is it Grease Lightning? Is he part of the Grease Lightning ensemble?
Yeah, he's part of that crew.
Okay,
but he's in the background of Grease Lightning. So,
And what would you consider your break?
Oh, that's really hard to say. I mean, going to Northwestern for theater, I think in the first place was kind of my big break.
Okay,
just in that.
Well, tout it as a theater school. Where does it rank?
Sorry,
I said tout it as a theater school. Where does it rank?
There
must have been other schools around. Not, I mean, literally, where does it rank? But there must have been other schools around the country that you were looking at.
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, I also I double majored. In mathematics as well. And
yeah, me too.
But one of the reasons that I chose to go to school there is because you really have the opportunity to do, you can study two completely different things, and you can't really do that at a lot of other places. So I was looking at primarily schools on the quarter system, like Northwestern, where you can...
so you actually had a plan is what you're trying to tell us.
Yeah.
In the process of going to Northwestern for theater, I assume you run into a bunch of folks who go, well, you got to do Second City. You got to do improv. You got to learn all of that. Great tradition here. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, mm-hmm. Brad Hall. Who
Steve
knows?
Colbert.
Many yeah,
yeah,
Colbert.
Yes, absolutely. It's a huge improv school, and I had a lot of really, really good friends do it. I was a little bit busy doing some other things, so unfortunately I never
mathematics.
Got around. Yeah, a little bit. I was in the library a couple times when those auditions rolled around.
Right.
That's really not where my skills lie. I don't think I'm nearly funny enough to be doing that. And there's so much talent at school.
They're good. So you leave Northwestern, what happens?
Well, I actually, it's really funny. It doesn't normally happen this way, but I left Northwestern. I moved to New York right away. And then within about 2 months, I was offered this contract. Which
it doesn't happen.
No, that usually
it
is not how it goes.
It does not happen.
I was very much in the right place at the right time.
No, that's not true. Give yourself credit. Exciting. You have to walk in a room. You have to audition. And you have to earn the part. They're not handing it out because they like you. So you should be very proud of that.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting, and I couldn't be more happy. So.
Well, the obvious question, though, is Motown the Musical, as you know, is a black entertainer, one of America's leading black entertainers. Motown the Musical with the greatest R&B in history. And as you said, all the music you forgot, you remembered.
It was so cool. I went to see it and I thought, oh, you know, as soon as you heard the songs, of course, My Girl Ain't No Mind High Enough. Oh,
I just think this is a testament to your talent that a nice white kid from Minneapolis is in Motown the Musical.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's actually one of my favorite parts of the show is that, I mean, it's...
So you got the part? That would be mine, too. Yeah.
There's a real sense of unification about the story that I really enjoy. That, yeah. I mean, for a lot of white people, this was their first and perhaps only connection to black culture was through this music.
Oh, I'd argue it was a crossover moment.
Oh, absolutely.
An absolute crossover moment that... you think about how racially divisive the 60s were.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you could tell us more about the 60s. I was just a child. Mm-hmm. Music can bring people together.
No, absolutely. And that's one of my favorite parts about the story. And definitely, you see that definitely on stage in the musical. And that's definitely one of my favorite parts.
How many songs did you actually know? I mean, you were a little kid.
Oh, I mean, this is the music that my mom was playing.
Fact,
in the
before
car
you were
up.
Even a bottle of wine, this music was already oldies.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, this is the music that my mom loves. So when we were driving around in the car when I was little, this is the type of stuff she would play. So it's been a really amazing to sort of participate in this music and this story in a way that I thought that I never would. So I mean, I knew almost all the songs. The show is just hit after hit.
It's gotta be fun to sing.
Oh, it's a blast to perform.
This show is so amazing. It's so energetic. And when I saw it, people were standing in the aisles dancing. You know, normally at the end, there's maybe some big ensemble or you know, the ending, everybody stands up and dance. People were doing that by the third song.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's the thing that I find about it. It's not annoying. Like, you go to the theater, people are dancing in the aisles. You go, what are you doing? Sit down. Everybody's part of the party.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not only accepted, but encouraged.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's really difficult when you're listening to this music to sit still. Like, come on. I mean, it's a good time all around. And it's a blast to perform. And it's amazing to see people having fun in the audience as well.
What do you sing in the show?
What do I sing? I sing a little bit of a song that's actually new for the show. It was written specifically for... There are, I think, two or three songs that were written by Barry Gordy himself and Michael Love Smith together.
Did you have to audition for Barry Gordy?
I didn't. He wasn't in the room when I auditioned, but we were fortunate to have him. I know. We were fortunate to have him come into rehearsals for a whole week. And it was, that was absolutely amazing to have him there.
How about that?
It was incredible. I mean, he provided just a wealth of knowledge that we wouldn't have had otherwise. I mean, we can do as much research as we can and learn as much, but it's different having the lived experience in the room. And he sat down with everyone in the cast, and it was awesome to...
What's the average age of the cast?
Sorry?
The age of the cast.
Oh, it's...
Are you on the younger end?
Yeah.
Is there any hazing?
No, certainly not. No, the cast has been absolutely lovely. And we gel pretty well. So it's been great so far. But it's really across the board. I think a couple of the leads are, you know, mid-30s and things like that, but I'm definitely...
In other words, old.
Not quite. More experienced.
It's cool, too, because not only is it musical and you're dancing, it's a really good story. If you don't know the background of Motown, it's such a cool story.
It's really awesome to hear the story behind how, you know, the Jackson 5 were discovered and things like that, and how these career trajectories went for a lot of these really famous groups. So
you're in a hit show like this. Generally, it'll catapult you to another hit show. How long is your run?
We're on this tour for 9 months. So it's a 9-month contract.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited.
A working actor for 9 months. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, no. It doesn't get
any better. You have to call your mom for a while for money. It is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday nights. So how about that? Just 8 shows a week in the great tradition with a couple of matinees on the weekend. Tickets, obviously, where you normally get them, BroadwayInChicago.com. You can also call the Chicago ticket line at 800-775-2000. Your personal favorite moment of the show that doesn't involve you?
Oh, it changes every night, but I would have to say Ain't No Mountain High Enough is at the very end of the show, and it's just a blast to do.
Stop it already. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough.
Nope.
Ain't no river wide enough.
To keep me from you.
Yeah. Can I get an amen? Come on.
Amen. 20
people. It's great to meet you. I'm thrilled for you. And please say hi to your family and all of my friends in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Of course. Thanks so much for
having
me.
And please keep coming in as you get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and they start piling Tonys up in your garage. Please keep coming in and seeing us.
I would love to.
Can we get a Go Cats?
Between the two of you.
Yeah, okay. Go Cats.
With his voice, Go Cat sounds very authoritative.
It does.
He can sing it.
Go I don't know about
cats.
That.
Yeah, maybe make it your ringtone.
Yeah.
And Illini Nightmare, the Northwestern ringtone. It's 9:19. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WG.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Steve. It's Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern Wildcats. Congratulations on your 1,000th show again. And I'm honored to be on the radio with you on WGN 720 on Friday mornings throughout the entire fall. I'm looking forward to having another 1,000 shows with you, my friend. Congratulations. Go Cavs.
Well, that was unexpectedly nice.
Why, did you think he'd jab you?
Yeah.
Are you hurt that he didn't?
Well, part of me is a little disappointed, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. It was very nice. You have a backstory on that clip?
Well, just in general, when I reached out to all your friends that are celebrities to leave these messages, I told people that they could congratulate you, they could be funny, or they could be mean.
And he chose to be nice.
He chose to be nice.
Did anyone surprise you that they were mean?
No, though Mike and I did discuss, you can ask Big O about this. We thought his really emphasized that you don't take his advice.
Because he said it like 6 times.
Yeah, he came back to it at the end, and you're never going to listen to me. So it was.
It's just good that he's finally come to the conclusion that, you know, we're friends and I'm not listening.
Yes.
I think that's what the conclusion was. Yes. All right. So let's do this, if we can, for a moment, because we've got a few more texts here from people who are late to the party. Conversation started with me, you know, finally showing up for Hamilton after 2 years and loving it and wishing I'd shown up 2 years ago. Oh, and somebody texted too, what's the name of the play we were just talking about on the air? Motown the Musical. And that's on me. I should have mentioned that more often than I did. Motown the Musical, which you've seen, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fantastic. And I'm not kidding you. People by the second or third song are up and dancing, and it's not annoying. It's fun. It's a really fun show. It's like Mamma Mia.
It was way different than Cats, when the cats got up and they were scratching themselves and ignoring you and running out of the room for no reason. 815, Andrea, the wife and I watched Gone with the Wind about a year ago. We had to encourage each other not to turn it off.
Thank you.
Just wanted to hear the line, oh my God, stupid movie.
God,
obviously
thank you.
No competition for awards that year.
Right? I don't get it. Wow. I didn't like
it's
Red
Butler.
Red Butler.
It's about the Civil War.
You know what, though?
And love.
And here's the funny thing.
And birth and babies.
Yeah, I know. And draperies being worn as your clothes.
Right.
And I didn't even like Red Butler. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get all kinds of mean emails, but he wasn't a redeeming
character. I don't think there's a lot of people out there defending Rhett Butler.
Well, I know,
right now,
not in 2017. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. People can't believe I hadn't seen the movie till pretty recently. I didn't like it.
Did you read the book?
No.
Please, Mary. Wow.
I don't have that kind of time.
When you were younger.
630 tried jumping on Breaking Bad. 2 episodes later, jumped off.
Oh, they didn't like that.
I didn't watch Breaking Bad either.
And I just,
didn't but I didn't go to that party.
I just
I never started.
Joined the Game of Thrones party this month, last month.
630, I salute Mike Jacobson in the same way. I have not done Uber. Don't plan to. Can't do it with a flip phone. Well, you got two things going there, right? You never got to the flip phone party, and you're refusing to go to the Uber party or the smartphone party.
Never left the flip phone party.
Right. Let's see. Yeah, and the rest are more of the same. So you can continue to text in your I missed the party text, and we'll go from there. I've not watched much of Dancing with the Stars. Let me go live to our dance studio on the seventh floor. Mary Vandeveld, who is jumping out as a leader?
Oh, man. I missed this Monday. I could only make it through like 45 minutes of it. Their names are, I have them on a list somewhere. Jordan is still in pretty good shape. The guy who was in Hamilton, speaking of Hamilton,
okay,
and the singer. He is really, really good. And then Nick, what's his name, Lachey's wife, Vanessa.
Yeah.
She's doing pretty good, I believe.
Wasn't she, Vanessa Lachey, when she was Vanessa something else, wasn't she hooked up with Derek Jeter?
I think
she was one of Jeet's girlfriends.
Yeah, I think she dated Brian Austin Green, too, didn't
did she?
I think she's just famous for dating people. I don't even know what she does. She was some sort of e-reporter or something, I think.
It's kind of fun. Seems like she's kind of fun.
Yeah, she's okay. And then Nikki, the wrestler, she's pretty wild. She's dating John Cena. That's his name, right?
Right.
The WWE guy.
Right.
Yeah,
I like John Cena.
He came on, actually, Monday night and was, you know, kind of miffed because she did a real risque number.
Let me check with your conscience. Your conscience on this report. Mary Vandeveld's conscience. Is she holding back on me here? She doesn't seem like she's into the show as much as she used to be.
Well, you know, first off, Vanessa Lachey, MTV VJ. I mean, come on.
We should have known
that. Whatever.
We should have known
You know,
that.
I'm really not into the show this year.
But
I
obviously your
terrible.
Conscience knows.
Okay, I'm going in my purse because I have the list finally. Let's see.
Oh, man, I got so much stuff in here. I got mascara. I got my lipstick. I can't even find anything. I mean,
okay.
I mean, what's this? I just found breath mints. I haven't had breath mints in 2 weeks.
There we go.
There's marshmallows for the skunks.
Stop.
Oh, there's my car opener. I've been looking. Oh, my garage opener. There it is.
A lot of good stuff in
here. I mean, Steve told me it was in my other purse.
Okay, Con, be quiet now. I have to go through the list.
Do you have it?
Well, yes. So,
okay.
Lindsey Sterling, the violinist.
I can't even read my own handwriting here. I can't even.
The funniest thing is that you wrote it down and you put it in your purse.
Because,
like an old lady note.
Because nobody knows these people. It's like, who
right,
are
but,
they?
But wouldn't you have it ready for when I go to you on this with no warning?
I never know when you're going to go on to me. Drew Scott, he's okay. He's the, what's the guy that flips houses? Him.
Oh, that guy. Is he doing okay?
Drew Scott with his twin brother.
Yeah.
He's doing okay. He's really tall.
Yeah.
Kind of awkward, but I think he's okay. Terrell Owens is doing just okay. Victoria Arlen, she's good. I forgot what she does. Oh, she's the Paralympic.
This is something I don't understand. And texters, please feel free to enlighten me.
What don't you understand?
She was paralyzed. She had a horrible sickness, sort of virus at 12 years old.
Yeah, for 10 years she was paralyzed.
She was paralyzed and really in a vegetative state for a period of time. She came out of it and... Is it a year ago, 2 years ago? I don't know when, but
I think a year ago. She still doesn't have much feeling in her
she
legs.
She has almost no feeling in her legs, and she dances.
And she is the cutest thing.
Don't
I just
you
love
remember
her.
Who was the deaf actress? I can't think of her. Marley Matlin.
Marley
Matlin could not, obviously she can't hear the music, but she had kind of a translator off to the side, and he was kind of, if he would tap on his hand, it
vibration.
Would be like,
I can't imagine.
If he would tap
I
on his hand, it'd be like, that's the drum, or this would,
no,
so
I
she
can't
was
imagine.
Watching his cues.
And this Victoria Arlen should make you cry every time you watch her. By the way, Bergeron last night was great. Tom Bergeron was a nice guy.
So look who's watching it.
Oh, I've watched a little bit of it, but last night I saw 5 minutes, and I'm glad I saw this five. After Victoria Arlen created a dance number around the fact she was bullied in high school, Bergeron addressed the youth of America. He said, because the Victoria Arlen, she was bullied in school.
Right.
That was one of her things. And Bergeron said, if I could just address the kids watching, if you're going to school and you see somebody who's different, don't be an ass.
It was awesome. I was shocked. It just came out the way it did.
That
with
was
him.
Tremendous.
He was real good at the beginning of the show, too, as well. After Las Vegas, he had some good remarks.
I mean,
he's very good.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. Old friend of the show.
Anybody else you need to know about that I
No,
don't
put your notes back in your
were?
Purse. It's 9:29.
Right,
big
thanks.
Story next on 720 WGN.
I can't find anything in here.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
the Wang Dang Doodle.
Been a bit of a controversy in Friday's picks. Dave had to be, or Thursday's picks, Dave had to be held as he trembled, thinking John DeCoste would ruin his chances as his partner.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh. That's not the way I remember it.
Well, why would you? Why would you remember it that way?
John and I are a team. All for one, one for all.
They are a team. I cannot get a hold of John DeCoste, so I don't know if Dave
if you can find a way to eliminate John, you'll do it.
The key word in Dave's statement being one. You said one a couple times in that statement.
What, you mean the all for
one? Let me ask you a question, because we're not doing the new picks yet. This is the recap of last week.
Right.
But if John called in and said, I feel really strongly about this, tell Dave we're going with, and then pick the game, what would your reaction be?
Oh, I'd walk out of the studio.
He'd go.
No, I would. I depends.
No, it doesn't.
No, it really doesn't.
On what?
All right, so from worst to first, last week, how'd we do?
Dan Hampton did worse.
Oh, thank
our
God.
Celebrity
what does
picker.
He know about football?
I know.
Thank
I
God.
Know. Andrea. Cochran and the listener, who was John, were in fourth place.
Can't believe I listened to John.
Oh. I know.
Dave, I don't know if you know this. Anytime you listen to a guy named John, it's nothing but trouble.
That's what I hear.
What a fall.
I forget where John was from, but that's when you said, and then John from DeCoste was the other John. That
right,
was very funny.
Right.
It might have been Ingleside. Anyway.
John from DeCoste is actually a character in the Renaissance Festival.
That's the keys on Game of Thrones.
Andrea and Steve are in third place.
Steve, we're moving
department.
Up. We're moving up, Steve.
Hey, Grisanis, did you have anything to do with that pick last week?
No, you guys kind of snuck that one in. I was off doing work, and then you guys kind of
came
at me. And
honestly, Steve, you know what's funny about
and
that?
I feel like you're just getting...
Every time you're away from the microphone, you claim you're doing work. There's not a single person in this building that, when they leave their workstation, is just doing work, including you.
And then we see them crossing the street to get coffee.
I've not been to Starbucks in months, Mary.
Months? Wow. Wow, that's incredible. If your dog could talk, we'd get the truth.
And I have multiple workstations, by the way.
Yes, of course you do.
But we moved up. Woohoo!
All
we
right,
went from
good
fourth
job,
to third.
Guys. Second place, Mary Vandeveld and her Ooh. Conscious, Mike Jacobson.
Number two, and I think we even lost the game.
Yeah, you did. You did, but you're point differential.
You know what?
I think Mary's cheating, by the way. Can I just say that? I think she's
not.
Cheating.
I am doing good.
Hey, Conscience, do you think maybe she could find the score in her purse?
Well, yeah, not with all that gum in there. I mean, who eats Trident nowadays?
My kids know I always have gum.
Is it 95?
Is there a tab in there, too? A can of tab?
Mary Vandeveld's purse is magic. She pulled out a loom to make a sweater.
I know what's in Mary's purse, an entire bottle of wine, because I gave her the wine purse.
Oh, that's a great
purse.
Wow. That is
call.
The best purse
so funny
ever.
About
Thanks,
that
Steve.
List in the purse, because my mom, every year for Father's Day, my dad's birthday, and Christmas, my mom has a list of my dad's dress shirt size and a thing with a golf shirt that would say no pocket because he doesn't like pockets. But she could never find the shirt size and the little thing with the golf shirt no pocket when we were at the store because there's so many other things in the purse that the list.
Right, she'd have to go into deep. Here's the thing I don't understand about your
it's my
team.
Problem.
Your team.
Wouldn't it just be easier to memorize no pocket?
17 and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I know. You think between my sister and I, my mom, we would have remembered it somehow.
Hey, after having three kids, I have no brain cells.
All right, so
left.
What's weird about it? What's weird about her?
Here's what's weird about your team. Every time you go to the front door, you don't know where the keys are. Every time you go to the car,
that's true.
You don't know where the keys are.
That's
Wouldn't
true.
It make sense to have like a purse with a pocket that's just for the keys?
Well, there is. I put my
I
keys
do.
In my side pocket, but I never put them there.
I mean, how big do you want this purse to be?
Yeah,
you have to be good with systems.
I got a lot of junk.
I personally
my key
have
key
a key pocket with my car key here at work, but when I'm at home, my key stays in the car in the garage.
So. Do you? Does, any, does anybody? Anymore? I was going to say, does anybody hang their keys on those little hooks by the door?
I do. But my former boss used to have a key
make
hanger.
Fun of that.
A key hanger by the
say,
door.
I was going to say, because who does that? I mean. Yeah.
Then I never lose my keys because I know they're hanging on the hook by the door.
But then it's clutter.
Let me go. Am I going to Jake or to Mary's Conscience? I never know.
I do hang my keys on the
See,
on the hook.
Because he's an old man, young person.
It was one of the first things I bought at the
See?
New apartment.
We think
a hook for your keys.
See what I have on my keychain? It says, keep calm, Mary.
Well, yeah, that works well, let me tell you.
But, Steve, you're saying who has keys? You still need the key fob to get in the car.
Right.
Well, the key fob, yeah, but not like a whole big thing of keys.
No, but you still, point being, you still wouldn't know where your key fob was.
When I guess.
Yeah, when you go out to get in the car.
Too. You need your house key.
Well, I mean, some people have the push button locks on the doors now.
Mm. Or some of us just don't lock the door sometimes.
Wait, what?
Well, some of us don't live in the Wizard of Ozville that you two live in.
I know, I know.
In the palace, in the castle.
Do you have to go through security to get to your house, Mary?
Yeah.
I live in a very rough neighborhood. Very rough.
The double wide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, gangs are incredible. They come by, they make you refi.
You know, East St. Louis is in the running for the Amazon headquarters, by the way. Could be what? For your double wide.
That could ruin our property values.
Could shoot them right up.
Yeah, we don't need that. And who was number one?
And number one is Dave Ennett and John DeCasse.
You mean Dave Ennett.
Okay. And they do happen to have the most first place finishes so far.
Yeah, because John
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What have we learned here? Week two, you want to eliminate John DeCasse. Week three, you actually talk to John DeCasse and you finish number one.
You're coming up with that on your own.
I never said
I wanted to eliminate John. I was traveling.
We were traveling. He gave his pick ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then John,
I had to get my pick because I was going to be on the road.
John told me, I've got some ideas for the pick this week since Dave's off. And I said, oh, no, Dave already gave his pick. Right. You're not allowed to weigh
in. So since you're
I believe the statement may have come out of your mouth, don't let John ruin this.
I don't remember ever saying that.
I love John.
But he did say, don't let John pick.
Well,
that's the same thing, yeah, Dave.
No, it's not.
May have implied
it's
a ruining. Totally I'm not
so
sure.
Since Dave, here's the key question, though. Since Dave is in first place, will you let John pick next time?
I don't see that happening.
How about this week, since you have won two of the first 3 weeks? Is that right?
We've had 4 weeks. Dave has won three of them, and then he had one fourth place finish.
Okay, so if you won three out of the four, how about you just let John make the pick without you, and you just have to sit there and listen?
I bet his tummy's hurting right now. Thinking about
you want to think about it? We're back after this. What do you mean I'm number one? We're back after this.
Can
what?
You say Greg? Greg from won the golf.
Oh, Greg. That's right. Greg from Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Greg from Arlington Heights, big winner. Dave, I am number one. Greg from Arlington Heights, foursome at Silver Lake in Orland Park. See their upcoming events and book your tee times online at silverlakecountryclub.com. Is that silverlakecc.com?
That is Silver Lake Golf Club. Say hi to Bert and Lizzie and everybody out there.
Yeah, but the website, silverlakecc.com?
Yes.
Okay, silverlakecc.com. Check in there and go see those guys. All right, 9:47. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. There is, in the midst of the tragedy of Las Vegas and the ongoing travesty of Las Vegas and Puerto Rico, we're kind of taking our eyes off the ball with the White House scandals of the day and of the week. And there is an important story that broke over the last several days. A lot of you may have heard that Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, among others, had their own private email accounts once they entered the White House. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the height of hypocrisy. Hillary Clinton could have handled that well and just said, well, there you go. But instead, she threw in, well, they were making such a big deal out of my problem, which wasn't a big deal. Yes, it was a big deal. Madam Secretary, was a huge deal. You did a dumb thing. You admitted you did it. You need, just go back to your tree fort. Go back to your tree fort and wait for the book checks to come in.
By the way, she's going to be in Chicago.
She's invited on the show.
Yeah. Later in the month, her event is sold
out.
But
she is continues to be her own worst enemy. Having said that, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and all the others who had their own private email accounts. Are you kidding me? So this was blown off by the White House because the White House was saying, it was just a couple. And we didn't have our own server.
Right.
That doesn't make it okay. And now White House officials have begun examining emails associated with a third and previously unreported email account for Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump's private domain, according to three people familiar with the matter. Hundreds of emails have been sent since January from White House addresses to accounts on the Kushner family domain. Many of those emails went not to Kushner or Ivanka's personal addresses, but to an account they both had access to and shared with their personal household staff for family scheduling. However, until that is actually made public, that is a statement from them, not what in fact may be true. How could I possibly doubt them? The emails, which include non-public travel documents, internal schedules, and some other White House materials, were in many cases sent from Ivanka, her assistant, and others who work with the couple in the White House. Emails to the third account were largely sent from the White House accounts, but occasionally came from private accounts. If this were Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, you're Ivanka, I'm Jared.
Okay.
wouldn't we want to clear this up? Wouldn't we want to say, this is ridiculous. The kids have to go places. We have to schedule things. We have to let the help know. Lovey, did you let the help know? We have to let people know and clear it up. Instead, silence.
I have a fantastic pair of bangle bracelets that I'm selling for $39.99.
That's important stuff. You got to get it out there.
I'm Ivanka, right?
Yes, you're still playing the role of Ivanka. I don't know. No, so anyway, this is ongoing. And Robert Mueller, there's a great story in Politico yesterday Pat Brady alerted me to, about Robert Mueller not talking to anybody. Robert Mueller will, you want to get secrets out of Robert Mueller? Good luck. Mm. Robert Mueller doesn't leak. He doesn't allow leaks. He's not talking to anybody. We think this thing has gained steam and they'll have a report. And I would love to, you're going to think I'm nuts. I would love to see a report come out tomorrow that says either we got all the problems, here they are, let's prosecute, or there was nothing there.
Right.
But get it behind us.
No, completely. And up until a month ago, he hadn't even finished hiring but selecting members of the team.
Yeah, we did have to hire folks. Yeah, exactly right. Wow. We announced this earlier to celebrate the 1,000th show. We've combined the lunacy of Mary Sandberg Boyle, NBC Sports. Is that what we're calling it again? NBC Sports Chicago?
NBC Sports Chicago.
We've combined the lunacy of Mary Sandberg Boyle, NBC Sports Chicago, along with a celebration of the 1,000th show. She got very excited about her new washer dryer. We're giving you a new washer dryer from Apt Electronics. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest. Enter for your chance to win. And thank you, Apt, as always. It's WGNRadio.com/contest. Bill and Wendy coming up.